The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
My favorite group.
Night on his steed. Now you know how happy I can be.
Pure dedication going on here, folks. You're listening to Inside Florida Racing.
I thought this was a Dick Clark show. You're on.
Check. Okay. That was Davy Jones of the Monkees.
I don't hear her very well. Is she in there?
Yeah.
Davy Jones of the Monkees, Cece's favorite of all. Yeah, she used to go to their concerts.
We got on this because she can't go to East Bay Raceway to see the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series on April 5th because she will miss meeting Davy Jones.
I have a date to meet Davy Jones of the Monkees.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Davy Jones of the Monkees, they're not even a group.
Hey, Cece, just hold that thought.
What's
a minute.
What's going on
hold
there?
That thought a minute.
Okay.
For some reason, what number is that?
A preteen. Anyway, she was saying she was a preteen at one time, but we're going to let her get back
to
that.
Try it now. Now, go through that whole thing again because nobody heard that except us.
There you go.
Is it better now?
It's totally better.
Now she can defend herself. Turn her up even a little bit more so she can defend herself a little bit.
Okay. Once upon a time, I was a preteen girl, and back then the Monkees were really hot. And the Monkees, you know, now that I only remember them from when they're reruns. My sister fell in love with them when the show originally aired. But the Monkees, at one point at their fame, were so popular that when they toured, Jimi Hendrix opened for them.
Did they didn't have any concerts?
Yes, they did.
Do you know what I have right here?
They actually played music?
They actually played music, and
I didn't know that.
I have a date to meet Davy Jones on April 5th, and I'm now torn between actually going through with that or going up to watch the United Dirt Late Models run up at East Bay on the 5th.
Well, it's not just that. We're going to be live.
I have a date with Jimi Hendrix, but the date hasn't been set yet.
I don't know. You know, as a preteen girl,
our day's coming.
Okay, this is Inside Florida Racing. Am I not correct?
Yes, it's Inside Florida Racing with Rob Elting, a.k.a. Bonehead. And
C.C. Brooks.
A.k.a. C.C. Brooks. And got Jax always in the house working the buttons over there. And we've got interesting lineup.
We should have recorded the five. We should have been on the air 5 minutes before we were because people would have really liked what we were talking about, I'm sure. They'd like to hear it anyway.
Well, they're going to hear it. They're going to hear it as I guess we won't even talk about who we've got coming up. Let's just get down to the skinny. Now, we all went to races this week. These two, Jack and Cece, they went to a dirt race at Clewiston, Hendry County Speedway.
New Hendry County Speedway, yep.
I myself went to Charlotte County Motorsports Park and enjoyed myself there. Now, I wanted to say this. Mm-hmm. Myself and Cece, we don't get the treatment like Jack gets. Jack, he gets to end up being in places that actually have heating and air conditioning when it's hot and cold outside.
Exactly.
Now, Cece, did you freeze the other night?
Yes. In the pit stands, freezing my tail off.
Was the wind blowing there?
Yes,
it was. Dead out of the west, man.
It was very, very windy and very, very cold.
Okay, so settle what I'm hearing about the track surface for one. How was the track surface?
Are we gonna jump right?
You
into
might
want
to use that microphone stand, but go ahead. How was the track surface?
Sahara
Desert.
Yeah, it was very, very dusty, and I believe from talking to some of the drivers that it caused visibility issues for some of the guys in the back. Not so bad for people like up front. But the drivers in the back, I think, were running into problems. And then when there was a spin out or something, it just added extra dust clouds in the air, making it hard.
Now, were their drivers actually complaining?
I talked to a few drivers and to get their opinion.
Names will go unmentioned,
as I promised. And I wanted to know if it was as frustrating for them as it was for the fans, because it was very cold sitting out there watching the race. And
let me tell you, as a driver, those guys, the best seat in the house when you're is when you're a race car driver when it's cold, because the car kind of warms you up.
It wasn't the cold that they were frustrated of. They admitted they were frustrated over all the caution laps that they drove, and they were frustrated by some drivers who caused some of that
problem.
Like not problems with them getting the field lined back up and racing started and moving quickly.
So now this is the second race of Ken Kenny's masterful season that he's got planned. He's got all these drivers. Now, I didn't get to see it. Now, at East Bay, you know, being the first race, with all those people, was expected to have some quirks and croms and things like that. Those are words I made up, by the way.
What were those words?
Quirks and croms.
You mean at Ocala?
Yeah, what did I say? East Bay?
You said East Bay.
Excuse me. Ocala. I stand corrected many times in my life daily. it was expected at that race for them to have some problems, okay? And things went off pretty well, and drivers seemed to respond and go where they were supposed to. Their race really didn't have a whole lot of cautions. Now I hear in this race that you guys saw the other night,
22.
Yeah, and they had like one per lap for the first 12 laps, and then they kind of spread out the cautions a little, or did they have 20 in the first 12 laps?
Well, I'll tell you this. You can go on, and I don't know if it's quite up there yet, or up there quite yet, but it will be on, if you go to the uniteddirtlatemodels.com, that's the official site over there at FDLM. Remember all that? Well, it's also, it's easier to remember, uniteddirtlatemodels.com. The video of the entire race and all the interviews pre and post race are available. It's all one big deal, and you can watch it.
Who's doing the video?
Or you can buy a copy of it or something.
Who's filming it? Bob filming it?
Bob Culbertson, the video man.
Right, Bob.
And I got a copy of the one from Ocala. He gave it to me Saturday night. I brought it home, and we took off some of the interview spots that we're going to use. And the video is very good. It was actually very, very good.
Man, I wish I was able to do some of those interviews with Bob filming them. That would have been nice.
Well, you have to go where Bob is.
We were there. We were there in Ocala. I never saw him on that.
Well, that's because he was off doing his thing.
Okay.
But anyway. Well,
there were a lot of cars. There were a lot of late models up at New Hendry, and it was an incredible, phenomenal turnout to have that. I think it was something like 41 came in to do the race.
That's the biggest show they've ever had there.
And it was huge. It was phenomenal. I came home. The drivers that were there.
Well, go ahead.
And so, it was quite impressive. It was just a shame that there were so much problems in the feature.
I bet they still had a packed house. Even though it was cold, I bet they had a packed house.
They had a packed house. It was about 1,000 people were there, I would say, all together. And I would think that, and I asked people, a lot of fans who were in stands, just ordinary people, and that this is the biggest event they ever remember there. But the thing was, I was so inspired. I mean, I was dead tired, man. It's a long drive down there and back, you know, and it's not an easy drive.
Where is it?
South, it's on 27.
Right on the very bottom of Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right down the street from South Bay, where about 2,000 people drowned in 1927 when the hurricane came through there. But that's a whole other story.
Obviously.
Yeah. It's a place where in the summertime they got mosquitoes like bigger than B-52s. But
so let me. How was Pontus?
But no, let me tell you.
Big time.
That's what I'm telling you. Listen to me. I was so excited, even though I was dead tired. We got back here at 4 o'clock. Remember, they changed the times on us that night. They upped us an hour. Then I wrote a travelogue, man. I always thought it was really, really cool. They had all kinds of vendors, you know. They had all kinds of food, different kinds of food choices from all the vendors.
Hey, you said something.
It was great food.
It was
a carnival Sunday
atmosphere.
Night.
Carnival atmosphere.
You said something important there that we need to point out. For you folks that happen to have your computer on and you think that you're hearing our show an hour early, you forgot to turn your clocks forward. That's what's going on.
Anybody who ain't figured that out yet, they ain't listening to us.
You never know. Sometimes that's all they do. There's always somebody out there listening. But okay.
No,
food's
great.
Good.
Food's good.
Carnival atmosphere.
The food was great. There were people there who had never been to a race ever before, and they were there. And,
I need my on-track reporter, Showtime Sean Smith, to give me an update of really what was going on there in the track surface and what he thought, because he always puts it in a in a redneck kind of way that I like.
Give me his number. I'll call him already.
I gotta find it.
You find it.
Hold on. I've got it in my little book here. I got a really cute picture of Sean's son Saturday night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna ask the guy who actually won the race because we're gonna talk to Ivanette Lloyd in
the
second hour.
Ivanette Lloyd. Can't believe we haven't even brought that up yet.
The professor.
That's right. Winning yet another dirt race in the state of Florida. Cool. And
who better to ask than the guy who won the race?
Yeah, he's gonna say he loved it. Anytime you ask the guy that wins, he'll say he loved it. The guy that finished third. I mean, look at Carol's buddy there. Carol Wicks, how you doing out there, by the way? Carol Wicks, working hard.
Carol's still recovering a little bit. She's a little under the weather still.
Come on, Carol. She probably wasn't happy to hear her man Tony Stewart yesterday bad-mouthing Goodyear. Did Goodyear kill him last night? Did they go ahead and knock him off? Has anybody heard from Tony Stewart today after bad-mouthing Goodyear?
Yeah,
that bad?
That was sort of surprising. I saw that. But other people, they showed other people sort of agreeing that...
He finished second. Yeah. He finished second, and he still ragged them out really bad. And the thing is that I'm surprised that NASCAR... NASCAR, man, they're good old boy mentality over there, and I'm surprised they ain't run him up in a trailer and said, listen, man, you want to go back to Indiana and not race in our deal? Because Goodyear, Mr. Goodyear, has pumped so much money into NASCAR that maybe Tony's right.
What did
he say? Well, he said that Goodyear should be ashamed of the product that they brought there. And what the problem is that when they went and tested, they tested on a tire, and they got all their information for their car, and they expect to be able to use that. So in that aspect, I see exactly where Tony's coming from. But in the same token, everybody's assessed the same penalty by having to use that tire. So everybody had to get used to it. And Tony basically something's wrong there, Jack. Tony basically said that Hoosier or even Firestone would do a better job. So
maybe he has something there. But I'll tell you what. Why don't you ask Sean Smith about that?
Turn it up. Sean, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, man. You're my official on track reporter, keeping track of Ken Kenny and how things are going, because you know I'm always about the driver's point of view. Tell me about the race the other night, how it was run, and what you think as the soon-to-be champion again.
The race was actually, I'm sure fan-wise, watching it was just an absolute nightmare, because I know driving in it was, because the cautions and just riding around for so many laps, waiting on certain people to get in line while they're talking on the race. You were telling them to get in line to where they have to stop the race to make those people get in line is just asinine. But, and then they just got to do something with those tires down there at the racetrack. I mean, they had countless cautions for people running over tires and knocking them in the racetrack.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was definitely made for a long, cold night, I'm sure. So,
now you've run at that racetrack. You've run at that racetrack enough that when they didn't maybe ask you, or you didn't tell them beforehand, hey, those tires are going to be an issue, or you're going to have an issue here, why don't you straighten that up beforehand, or they don't even want to listen. What's up?
Well, it's not that. I mean, they've just those tires have been an issue before, so it's not a new thing, and I know they were definitely overwhelmed with how many cars showed up for it. I obviously think they wouldn't have ran the other three classes along with it, that as far as the other support classes, if they'd have known they were going to have 40-something late models show up. But, you know, I've actually mentioned that before, that if they wanted to use those small tires like that, they need to just bury them to the ground halfway standing up like they do at Boone Speedway in Iowa. That way...
Right.
People could still run them over, but you have a barrier there. But
yeah, it just rips your brake pedals off.
Yeah, it's a tough little racetrack. I mean, it's not an easy place to drive. I mean, I've been to a lot of racetracks, and yeah, it's small, but the surface there, I mean, you really got to get up on the wheel and drive there. So a lot of people don't like it.
How many cars should they start on that racetrack when they run a feature there?
Well,
of late models.
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously 27 was a little bit too much Saturday night.
Well, how many? You say it.
I would think probably 20 cars is the most you could run on that racetrack to where, I mean, when they got single file, which they said, you know, it was going to happen. That's why they tried to do the double file stuff to start with.
Right.
But the single file, you know, they were telling us we're going green. And as we were going into turn three, the last guy was coming out of third four and we were fixing the fire. I mean, that's just a victim circumstances there.
Let me ask you something. How come they do side-by-side and then a long start? What's the deal there?
I don't know. I actually asked that at a driver's meeting, you know, if it was going to be. The Delaware-type double-file restart where the leader's out front and then you do double-file from
right.
on back.
Right.
I understand, but I just don't understand the double-file start where the leader gets to choose whether he wants the inside or the outside. But he's got a guy on the outside of him. You don't really get – there's no advantage there for the leader. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
I asked that question at the driver's meeting if that was the way it was going to be. But, I mean, still overall, it's still the best thing going for dirt late model racing,
yeah.
especially here in Florida. And, I mean, it's a new series. I
think right.
The hype and everything at Ocala, it was so great. And, you know, and a lot of people just – race all over the place that are running that series now had never been to a racetrack like New Hendry County Speedway, and they won't ever go to another racetrack like that. But I think it really took a lot of them by surprise.
The drivers, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I think that they definitely were kind of like taken back when they got there, like, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? But
was it just because of the dryness of the track, or is it more than that?
I'm not sure. Like I said, it's really... I mean, a lot of them complained about it was rough, but it. I mean, I've seen it a lot worse, and I've been to a lot worse racetracks that were a lot rougher than that was Saturday night. And, I mean, I've been there, you know, 7 or 8, 9 times to down there, and one time that I went there, the place had so much bite in it. I don't know what they did that week, but you could race from top to bottom wherever you wanted, and they didn't hit it again this week. I'm not sure what it is.
Now, are you guys using a different tire than you normally use up there?
No. I mean, I've won all the races I've won there on American Racers on the same tires. I mean, last year I won 5 races in a row there on the same set of tires. I just take them home and wash them and go back the next time with them.
All right, well,
you know,
CeCe's going to say something here in a minute, but I just want to tell you that it's nice to hear that you finished third, and I'm going to keep track, you know, over these races. I want to talk to you from a driver's standpoint about what you see, and it's nothing negative about Ken Kenny's deal. I think the whole thing is if people do have some communication about what issues they have and bring them up, but like at the driver's meeting, that's the time that if you're running a series as a driver that you bring that stuff up, and you'll get answers to it because Ken wants some input. Trust me,
yeah.
He wants input. If you guys want to do Delaware Start, if you tell Ken that and all of you vote on it, you're going to be doing Delaware Start every time, and that'll help for the big fields, too, if they do that.
I agree. It just, I mean, I got to apologize to the fans that came out and watched it. There was about 5 of them in the grandstand when the race was over.
Well, you know that was, they left because, I mean, yeah, there was 22 cautions, Sean, but interspersed between those 22 cautions, it was pretty fun to watch. It was exciting to watch.
I mean, like I said, that place is a, it's really, I know y'all are going to have Ivan. I think you're going to have Ivan in on
sure.
later. And I'm sure he's probably going to say the same thing because that was his first time there. And he's probably going to say the same thing that you really got to get on the wheel and drive that place. And it just killed me to ride around there for 10 laps under caution.
Yep.
And hearing the same number on the race receiver to get in line, to where finally they had to stop us and put us in line because – and it wasn't everybody. And
you'll fix that. You'll fix that in the next driver's meeting. I guarantee you, you're going to stand up and tell that dude what's up.
Next time somebody does that, they'll fix it, and they'll just put them off the racetrack.
Right.
That's what they need to do. I mean,
if you got 27 out there, that's a good thing to do.
That's why we wear those race receivers, is to try to speed things up.
Right.
And other than that, and just the tire issue, multiple cautions for that. And the only other thing is there's always, with those race receivers, we know when we're going to green, and it's like they would come on there and tell us, okay, going green next time by. Or they would say the field, the lineup's right, going green next time by. Well, then we would ride around a whole other lap after they said that. Well, they tell us, you know, the field's set. They can turn that light off and we can go green right there. We don't have to ride around that extra lap.
Right.
Just little things they got to tighten up on it, but
he'll get
like
it.
I guarantee when we go to East Bay, it'll be a much better show. They were overwhelmed there by the cookout that they had there.
Hey, Sean, did you run with a camera in the car at New Hendry like you did up at Ocala?
No. I'm not sure if anybody ran with it at New Hendry. And at Ocala, I guess my helmet accidentally bumped the camera. And all
I
got was shots of the roof, so they didn't even use any of it.
Did somebody paid you to say that now, didn't they, Sean?
No.
I know there's a driver that paid you to say that.
No, but,
hey, Sean, I never...
East Bay, I think we're right where we need to be as far as the points on the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. I mean, there's some... Ocala was kind of like, what are we going to do when we get there? Because nobody had been there, and we got through there pretty good, and we're pretty good at New Hendry, and we're pretty good at all the rest of the racetracks we would go to. So.
Hey, Sean, what did you think about Ocala when you raced on it? I know beforehand I talked to you. I didn't get a chance to talk to you after the race. You'd never been there before. Was that a hard place ultimately to race around?
No, I love it. I mean, I'll be there this Friday night, running again. It's just that's a neat little – I mean, I've talked to some guys, and they don't like it. But to me, I mean, that's another one. You're just hammered down from turn four all the way around to turn three, and you're just – you've got to drive. I like those type of racetracks like that where you've got to drive them, and I can't wait to go there Friday night.
So you got my car ready? What's up?
Unfortunately, I haven't had any time to mess with that. So,
all right.
Not yet.
We got to go, man. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you again. Good luck Friday night.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, all right. Sean.
Bye.
All right. There you go. Showtime. He's going to keep up with what is all that static?
You know, I think we must have got some of that. We brought some of that that dirt from Clewiston back in our mixer because that's what that is. I don't know.
That's going to happen. We start keep covering these dirt races. All the equipment's going to end up with dirt all in it. We might actually have to get some different equipment. Imagine that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Now, let's talk about, Mark Kloss going to be on the show. Bill Green. Rick Angus?
Yeah.
We're going to have the winner at Clewiston, Ivanette Lloyd. Brian Finley, Sunbelt Super Late Model Series.
But
Brian Finney.
I think before we get another a guest on the phone, I just think we need to take a moment and just acknowledge the passing of Dan Benoit, Road Warrior driver number 20 at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, father to Cody Benoit and Billy, his wife Kim. He passed away recently after a long battle with cancer. And he was a great guy, a great driver, and he's going to be greatly missed, and the services are this Sunday.
Yeah, somebody that raced for a long time,
mm-hmm.
You know.
He was always so much fun to watch. I always enjoyed watching him out there when he was in his Road Warrior out there at Charlotte.
Yeah, he liked to get wound up and loved to race and won many races out there, and I'm sure Cody, he's going to do well with races as well.
No, I think your mic just stopped.
Kicked it over there. Anyways,
but,
I was talking about Cody. I think he's going to be a good racer to come. He's already started out there. And yes, Dan will be missed. And I was at Charlotte County watching the races this weekend. I did see they had tributes on the cars for him. And, you know, Charlotte County, you know,
I don't know.
Losing
That's,
guys. What is this?
You know, it's an unfortunate thing. You know, cancer just seems to be taking more and more people that I know, and you know.
Well, I'm trying not to let it get me. That's why I go and get all these checks done down the throat. I had to see the Rear Admiral, you know, all that.
It's what you have to do. Do all the preventive stuff and everything, because so, you know, if you catch it early enough, sometimes you have a fighting chance. But Dan fought it for a very long time. He lived. A lot longer than I guess they originally thought he would. And I always thought that it was his family and racing that kept him going.
Yes.
For as long as he did. And So I think this weekend they're going to be doing something special for him out at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Hey, is that Greg?
Hey.
Hey, Greg.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm so glad to have you on the show tonight.
I'm glad to be on the show.
Now, Greg, let's introduce you to everybody out there. You're the flagman out at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
That's right, the guy that everybody likes to hate out there, right, Greg?
That's it.
What's your last name, Greg?
It's Roback.
They didn't understand it, Jack. Can you fix it? What's the last name?
It's Roback. R-O-E-B-A-C-K.
There you
Roback.
Go.
Okay.
Now, Greg, besides all the fun stuff that goes on at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park on Saturday nights that you control the helm of there, what are some of the new things that are going on, like with go-kart racing? I hear there's a new deal with go-kart racing. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, we started, got some Friday night dates, got some Sunday afternoon dates, and it's a new thing we brought to the track, and each week, we're in our second week now, each week it keeps growing, and we're getting more and more carts coming out, and it's a really cool family atmosphere. You know, you get a little break from the Saturday night stressful deal, and it's really cool to see the 5-year-old guys and girls and that running around their carts, and it's a really cool deal. But we got some events coming up to where we're going to have like a 3-day event there. We're going to do a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with them, and you know, the class that sports the most cars on Friday night, we're going to race them under the lights and for the fans on Saturday night as a treat for everybody.
Well, that sounds exciting. You know, I'm glad, really glad to hear that Bobby had taken the helm of that, because the other, I'm not going to say anything negative about the other karting class that was there, because he was teaching kids how to, you know, about the sport, and that's what it was all about. But I'd like to see the old structure of all the different classes come back with all these guys with the Briggs classes and the guys with the 100cc Yamaha classes, and maybe even some of the guys, you know how those old guys like to build those open karts and just, you know, tinker with them, you know. So is that the kind of structure you guys are going to be running there?
Well, you know, we kind of structured around, you know, whichever carts show up and the number of carts. I know last time out we had, of course, the kid carts. They're running the 5 to 7-year-olds. And then we have the cadet carts that are the 6 to 12-year-olds. And then we were running easy 60s and easy 100s. We were running the Briggs, the heavy and the light. We run the tags and the shifters. So,
well, that's cool.
Those guys do some. They were pulling. One of them, he said on his computer when he came in, he was pulling 110 mile an hour down the straightaway.
Yeah, go karts can definitely haul the mail. You know, that's where I got my start in racing, was actually in go karts. That's where I met Bobby Deal. As a matter of fact, we were racing in a thing called Supercart USA and shifter karts and twin engine karts. And
yeah, he was telling me about that. He was telling me about the old kart days. That sounded like that was quite a blast.
It was. It was definitely a way to exhaust some of that energy I had when I was younger. And in the same token, it taught me a lot of things about racing that got me where I was. What happened, I was racing go-karts, and they're racing in circles on the small track at Lakeland before it was a big track. And that's all it took. I raced on it a couple times in circles and got the bug for that. And it wasn't long. I got a street stock and... late model, and
look where you're at now. But
yeah, look where I'm at now. Waiting for my motor to get done, but I'll have to say Jam Motorsports has got my Jam Racing has got my motor over there, so I won't be ready for this weekend, but I hope you guys have a bunch of super late models there this weekend.
I'm hoping so. The last couple super late shows we've had have been great shows out there. We had way over 20 the last super late we had last year, so we're looking for quite a good turnout this weekend too.
So, are you racing go-karts this weekend?
Yes, we are. This Sunday afternoon will be our next go-kart show. We just encourage everybody to go ahead and get on the website, and we have all of our shows listed under there, under the CCMP cart.
What is it? And what's the website?
It's our track website.
CharlotteCountyRacing.com.
There you go, CharlotteCountyRacing.com.
We're telling you that so you'll remember that, Greg. You have to know that.
I should know that by now, as much time as I've been there, right?
So are you getting some real interaction with the kids out there?
I am. We definitely are. You know, Bobby, when we started it, him and I sat down and we talked, and Linda and, you know, some other Oscar and a lot of the other people that make Saturday night possible, all said, hey, we'll volunteer our time to get this deal going. And we got in there, and it's just so neat to see the young ones come in there, and they're so enthused and so excited about deals. And then, you know, but still, you got the adults that come out there. Those guys, they want to play too. So it's pretty cool just to see the whole family atmosphere to where everybody's out there for fun, you know, for trophies, for just a great family atmosphere. I just can't stress that so much. That was impressed me so much.
I think that you guys need to get a little fun going there at the racetrack on Saturday nights, where they try to collect some money for go-kart racing there, because I think it's important that, you know, they get the barriers back, get that kind of stuff back, you know, and it's going to take other people to put money into the program to do that. And I know, like Randy Fox.
There's some people that want to get involved in the sponsorship of it right now. I've talked to several people that are, you know, that are saying that they're interested, so maybe we can get some of that going. But I mean, the number of carts that are showing interest here, it just blew my mind how many people are really into karting in this area. I mean, I knew, you know, I've been involved in racing most of my life, and been involved in Charlotte County, you know, motorsports park since the beginning, but it's just amazing how many people are involved in karting. It's such a cool thing.
Hey, Greg, now, are the gates open, you know, for fans just to come in and watch on Friday nights or on Sundays when they have their racing?
Oh, they sure are, yeah. And we kind of encourage everybody just to come on down into the pits with us, because, I mean, it's just $10 for an entry. And you're more than welcome to step in the stand if you'd like, but it's really neat if you want to come down into the pits and walk through the pits and get the feeling of everything and meet the drivers and see the carts and get up close with them and just have that interaction with everybody instead of, you know, just sitting in the stands watching. We're encouraging everybody just to come on out and just come right in the pits and get involved with this and just get the whole feel of it, because that's the big deal of the whole thing, is just to see the young ones and see their expressions and see them competitive, and it's just a real cool deal going on.
Now, I want to hear that you guys at least do get them stands open and get the concession open on Friday nights, because I think you could sell some food and drinks probably.
Oh, it's open now, but we had it open last Friday night, and
cool.
We were serving a full menu, and I saw a couple lines sitting over there, and, you know, we had close to 35, 40 carts last week. We're expecting a heck of a bunch more than that, because some people would email us saying, hey, we'd like to get there, with a short notice thing, and now that the word's getting out, we're expecting 60, 70, 100 carts in our next go-around.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I did have some food this week. The food was pretty good.
I'm sorry?
I said I had some food at the track this week. The food was pretty good. That's right. I was actually there this week, Greg, sitting over there freezing my butt off, watching the races. I have to say the fan turnout wasn't too great, but it was so cold. The wind was blowing 40 miles an hour, you know, so.
It was cold. It was the coldest night we've had in a long time.
But it was a good race. You know, you had 19 cars there inside that sportsman race, so it was nice to see a full field of cars there.
Yeah, it was a good sportsman race. So that's an up-and-coming class for us, too. We had at times struggled with carts out there, but you know we seem to be getting more and more cars that are being completed, and it's really going to be a great class for us too.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to this Saturday night's and racing up there at Charlotte.
You know, I went to see what Donnie Ollie was going to do in his car against those sportsmen in the Ford Mustang, the Ford Mustang Roadrunner, man.
Yeah.
Ran into him, broke his axle.
Yeah, he did. He's usually pretty competitive in that class, too.
I wanted to see how it was
going to go. Broke Donnie's axle, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was right at the beginning. And you know how fired up Ollie's bunch is. Mm-hmm. They're ready for him to race. He started in the back, and I just wanted to see how he would have progressed over all those laps, because they ran. How many laps they run? 50 laps, right?
Yes.
So that must have meant that originally, according to the schedule for up at DeSoto, the Outlaw Street Stocks were supposed to be running up there. So I guess there must have been a change.
Well, I have some explanation about that, too. As I talked to Gary, and quote from Gary was that they had a deal worked out prior to coming there that they were going to allow the drivers, because it's the beginning, to drive on whatever tires that they had, whether mm-hmm. it was American Racers or Hoosiers. And I guess I haven't talked to
John
the Godfather. John's. I haven't talked to the Godfather over there, Sapricone, yet to see what exactly his story is on it. But the unfortunate thing is that the guys that are racing would like to race at these other tracks. So John's answer to things a lot of times, John, and you know this is true, revolves around money sometimes. But I I don't know what that's the fact, but I just know it revolves around tires.
What do you want me to do? I'm here to make some money.
Yeah, and I can respect that. You know, love or hate John, you got to respect the fact that he stands up and he runs his own racetrack, which and Bobby's doing that too. You know, I like to see these.
Besides, which drivers ought to stay home. They ought to stay at their own track and quit trying to be greedy and go racing at other tracks. And
And if that's what it takes for Gary's class to stay successful, to just stay at Charlotte County, then I'm sure Gary will do that too. But I think that. Like Donnie Ollie.
I'm gonna get a whole bunch of Karnak water balloons, man, and we're gonna hand them out to the fans here in one of these weeks coming up.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And
wait, and, who are they gonna throw the water balloons?
Well, Flagman. They're gonna foam at Flagman.
You can guess.
This is the first time somebody threw something at me. Let me tell you.
Oh hey, Greg, I'm looking forward to my next time to come up in the stand with you.
You should do it this weekend for the Supers.
Hold on.
Awesome. I will be there.
I got to ask you a question, Greg, since I got you on the phone. I got you on the air. You got to be truthful. Okay. Now, when you run this late model show this week, like I said, I probably won't even be there, okay?
Okay.
When you have your driver's meeting, you tell the drivers, you're going to start each time, okay, on the pole guy, whether he drives slow or whether he drives fast. As soon as he gets over to turn three, it's open ball game. He can do whatever he wants. But as soon as he goes, I'm throwing the green out. And when I throw the green out, you guys can do whatever you want on the outside. Nobody passes on the bottom.
Right.
You make that announcement, okay? And you let these guys pass on the outside at the start of the race, and you'll have a much more exciting show.
Right. You know, we kind of I talk about that sometimes to them, but some guys will take that and thinking that, you know, down the back stretch, hey, I'm going to start, and I'm going to get on the outside, and I can pass what I want. But
if the green's out, because it's tough out there on the outside. That's the thing. It's tough out there.
Once the green's out, go for it.
It's
on the inside, deep off the start, but, you know, you can get out on the outside. But, you know, our track's kind of tough, and guys get out there on the outside. They don't get the grip they need. They're afraid they're going to lose a spot. But, you know, guys back in the pack a little bit will take that chance, and
that's right.
Will, you know?
Well, that's what I like to see out there, you know, and I always try to run that outside because I know I've watched enough races out there. I know it can be done. I've applied it at some times, but, you know, it gets tough when you run behind guys that are slower and they don't give you nothing on the bottom and you throw it on the outside and then they run you up. And
they do.
But I just thought it made for better racing. I think you're doing a great job flagging over there, and I hope you guys have a bunch of cars this week. And we got to go, though, and good luck with the go-kart racing, man.
I'll see you Saturday, Greg.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
See ya.
Bye.
Take care.
Hey, now, Rob, is there really this tire issue? Is there really, I don't know this, but is there a big difference between
the
make of tire, that it would make a big difference what the guys are running up there?
I can't answer because as a track owner, a lot of times the tire that they use has to do with maybe point money or they have ulterior motives for selling the tires that they sell. And when they make a deal with a tire manufacturer, a lot of times the tire manufacturers say, hey, we'll give you this deal on the tires as long as we come to your racetrack and you're making everybody use them. So if you own your own racetrack, it's your business, okay? It's a business, okay? There's nobody that walks inside a McDonald's, CEO inside there, and tells anybody at McDonald's how to run their business. There's nobody that tells anybody that owns their business. Nobody walks into Clear Channel and tells them how to run their deal.
That's okay? Right.
So if a guy owns a racetrack, and he wants to run it a certain way because he pays the bills, ultimately, that's the way he's going to run
it. Okay, I just was wondering if there was really any difference between, you know, the brand of tires.
That's what I was explaining. The difference of the tire? No, probably not. The compound, the way they grip the track, it's not a difference that's going to make somebody faster or slower. It could be, but that's not the issue that's here. Okay. The issue at hand has to do with, like I said, unfortunately, it has to do with money. And it's unfortunate for the drivers because they would like to venture off and maybe race a little bit. But it's like Jack over here says, it's a double-edged sword because they need to stay right here where they're at. They need to stay right at Charlotte County and keep that car count high, you know, and that's the best thing to do. I mean, the class is close to a Road Warrior class. It's real close. So the best thing to do is if they kind of did what they had to do to even those classes right up so they could always run with each other like they've been doing. Mm-hmm. That gives you the most car count, and fans don't know the difference of what tire somebody's running or what motor's in the car. Mm-hmm.
Let's say this. The people in the grandstands don't know the difference. Hardcore race fans
do. Well, I guess you're right.
But once again, this is the one thing we're always talking about. People forget that two-thirds on any given Saturday, two-thirds of those people in the grandstands, they don't go to the races all the time. Probably more than two-thirds.
Well, a lot of them have different agendas. I was watching people the other night that are just
kissing
each other.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, they're just kissing each other the whole time. They're not even paying attention. They don't know any of the drivers.
People were making out.
Yeah, they come to drink beer and make out.
Yeah, Tony Stewart's their favorite driver. They're going to watch the race tomorrow, you know, and the race is going on. But
I have a very important message here, so we have to go to break.
Okay.
We have to get these very, very, very important messages.
What's this $100 bill for that you slid me?
It's
that payola.
I want one.
I'm supposed to do an ad for somebody for this?
We're passing out money here? Where's mine?
you're listening to Inside Florida Racing and a little more of the monkey.
Take the last train to Clarksville. Now I must hang up the phone. I can't hear you in this noisy railroad station. All alone, I feel alone.
Of Real Racing USA. The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feeding frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
Hi, this is David Strimmy, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
All right.
Inside Florida.
That's right. We're back. Sounding good. Inside Florida Racing. You got Bonehead Rob Elting here and
Miss
CC Brooks hanging with us there. Who do we got on the phone with us?
We have.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Here he is. Do a self. Like people do self portraits. Do a self intro, man.
I don't know. I don't think I could.
Oh, you could if I had to ask you to.
Well,
Bill Green.
All-around nice guy, call the races at Sunshine Speedway, East Bay Raceway Park, follow the Fast program for a while. Right now he's right for the... Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Green.
Yay, and the crowd goes wild. Hey. It's Bill Green.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
You returned to the scene of your racing roots Saturday night.
Yes.
How long had it been since you've been...
What'd you do, time travel, like in a DeLorean or something, back in time?
Actually, they kept up with the times pretty good. That's nice of them to update the track a little bit. But, no, Auburndale was when I came out of the military when I retired in 93. I came back to Auburndale and went to working in the corners. And it was in turns 3 and 4. I was in one corner, 3 and 4, and I do the front stretch. And then in turns 1 and 2 and doing the back stretch lineup was Todd Hutto, now the owner of East Bay Raceway Park.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
You learn something new every time.
We worked together for about a year or so there. With that's when Don Nerone and Billy Martino Sr. were all involved with Auburndale.
That's when they were learning the tire business.
Yep. Ronnie Lucock was our flagman, and Julian Mullis was showing up every once in a while playing around in the stands and stuff. So,
has anybody ever been killed over the tire business?
Over the tire business?
What a question, Rob.
That was tough because it was a very good friend of mine killed at Auburndale in a figure eight race, got him. But
yeah.
No, I've not heard of anybody being killed over the tire business.
Yeah.
He was joking, Bill.
Bill,
it was a sick, bonehead joke.
You haven't been listening to our show, obviously.
No, I'm out with my girls tonight. Got a chance to take them out to dinner, and we're in Walmart looking at the Wall of Honor of military personnel because someone reported that my stepson had showed up on it.
So your wife goes to Vegas, and you take the girls out, and you're spending, you and the kids are spending all of mom's money.
Something like that, I guess. Something like that. My wife just sent me a video picture on my camera from Las Vegas. She was in the new Palazzo Hotel in their new fountain area and stuff. And she goes, I want to stay here next time.
So, Bill.
What's up, buddy?
Tell us about the racing at Auburndale Speedway, besides the fact that it was frigid.
Well, it was cold, but somebody lied to me because there were 92 cars in the pit. And somebody said, oh, they can't get car count. Who was that?
Who said they can't get car count?
No, they're doing fine, man. They had
Who said that?
15 or 16, 18 cars in every race. And I take it you got to talk to Eugene Davidson, our senior citizen of all.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk to Eugene a little bit later on here. And Eugene not only won the feature for the Brown Motorsports Spectacular, the mini stock race. He did it by starting last.
Dead last, and came all the way to the front.
So we're going
to
talk to him.
Not only that, afterwards he was there for a couple of 2.5 hours tearing his car apart because they all wanted to see the transmissions and stuff. That's what they were checking.
Well, it's always nice to see somebody doing something in tech.
There you go.
Hey, Rick.
No, it was an awesome race a lot.
No, this is Bill.
I thought Rick was on there with him.
No.
No, it's just Bill.
No, keep him in my back pocket anymore.
I thought that's who introduced him.
No, that
was that was
him.
Bill.
That was self-promotional.
We were having him have a little fun.
Oh, I thought he was. I thought it was Rick. That was a good Rick imitation.
Yeah, well, We both imitate each other, apparently.
Yes.
Look like brothers.
But I mean, going back to Auburndale was pretty cool because, I mean, I did get to see some people. There was a guy in the stands. Now, unfortunately, I could not remember this man's name to save my life. But he has been in them grandstands for 30 years if he's been a day. And I got a chance to see him, and he's coming streaming down saying, "Hey, Bill, you're back, what are you doing?" kind of thing. And stuff like that. So it's really cool to go back and see things like that. But, man, they're staying busy. They got a lot of cars and a lot of folks that are wanting to come out. But, yeah, the wind kept it down. It was pretty tough on the crowd with the wind blowing the way it was and cool as a bug.
Did it slow the cars down, Bill?
I don't think so. It didn't look like it to me. Billy Bechtelheimer had his hands full, man, with that open wheel modified class. It was only like, I think it was 9 or 10 cars, but they were, I don't think anybody went a lap down, and they, you know, stayed on each other's bumper all night long.
Billy's doing okay then, huh? I already got in a wreck.
Well, he won. Billy Bechtelheimer won last night, or Saturday night, open wheel event at East Auburndale.
Yes. Oh, he was involved in, wasn't he involved in a head-on collision a couple of years ago?
Traffic accident.
He's recovered, apparently, and doing well. One of the other stories coming out of Auburndale I talked to Jack earlier about was Ronnie Miller. Ronnie Miller didn't start racing until 2000, so he was 43 years old already. He's now 51 and still gets a chance to win some races. He was really happy about winning the street stock event, so that was pretty cool.
As a matter of fact, Bill, when you get off the air, I had so many things going on here at the last minute, I didn't get a chance to call him. When we get off the air, do you have his number with him that you could call him for us?
Unfortunately, no. It's back at the house.
Oh, okay. All right.
But you could probably catch him for, something later in the week if you needed to, or even first next week. He's still happy about coming on because I gave him the information.
Cool.
And so, then there's a young lady named Aubrey. Last name slips my mind right now. Aubrey Brown, I think, or Aubrey something. Anyway, she was out there doing the truck races, her third truck race ever. And she had turned away from cheerleading and softball and stuff to come racing. And I thought that was interesting that most kids that get involved in cheerleading and are doing it very heavily and trying to compete and stuff usually stick to it. But she got out and got the racing bug and decided, hey, instead of spending all that money on cheerleading outfits and traveling and stuff, can we have a truck? And apparently Mom and Dad bought into it.
Yeah, Dad, I wonder if Dad's already regretting that he didn't spend more on pom-poms.
Hey, I think she made a wise choice going from cheerleading to racing.
Well, she's pretty interesting young lady, and sounds like she's going to try to work real hard at learning the game, so to speak. So.
Pom-poms are cheaper than tires.
Yeah, well, I understand.
Yeah, but they're not as much fun.
Yeah, even for them little trucks, man, it's like $125 a tire now, I hear, so...
So what's the deal over at Tampa Tribune these days?
That's what I was going to ask him. Are you on the payroll or what?
Crank up for the year. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Are you on the payroll?
Am I what?
Are you on the payroll?
Yeah, I get paid by the place.
Okay. I mean,
it's his other employer, man.
Oh, yeah. And I've never been afraid to talk about how much money I make because it ain't much. And it's like $90 a week for doing the articles, points, and the...
We don't want to know that. I just meant, are you working?
I'm working.
Jeez. Well, not the tax man.
Well, I thought he was trying to find out if I was poor. I'm dirt poor. And
who cares? Who cares? Who is this guy that we're talking to, Bill Green?
Bone Man, we are starting back up.
Bonehead.
Thursday.
Bone Man, Bonehead. My name is not Rex, it's Rob.
Oh, that's right.
I love you, Rex.
Anyway, we're just starting back up our regular Thursday editions of the local area racing news and stuff. So it'll be in the paper every Thursday. Last Thursday, we got our first chance. Got a good article in there with Buzzy Rudiman kicking off the year with a win. That was kind of neat. And it being David Rudiman's birthday the next day, it was kind of cool. And then tonight or this week, it'll have a lot to do with Eugene and his win. It looks like, and my title is like the senior citizens are taking over local racing. So. Yeah. All these guys getting out there and winning some races is fun to watch.
Yeah, who was the guy who wasn't there? Who's the guy? Oh, man, who's the old, the blue late model at Auburndale? What's his name? Oh, come on, Bill.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you do.
He actually ran in the sportsman race.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It'd be interesting. It'd be really cool if people knew what we were talking about, wouldn't it?
I know. It would be great. I can't remember his name. Duncan. Dave Duncan.
Dave Duncan. Go to Kardak. I was going to say go to Kardak.com and look at Dave the Duncan. Florida race results.
He's getting up there in years, too. Just like Pat Nanny and some of the other guys have been around for a long time doing the racing.
Wait a minute. Pat Nanny's not as old as Dave Duncan, man.
Oh, not too close, I realize. But I just wanted to make sure Pat heard his name. I get paid for that.
Do you? Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
You going to share some of that with us? That part of your 90 bucks?
No, no.
Don't think I don't pay attention. Hey,
Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Jack, did you tell him that I found a ticket from the lotto in my pocket, bonehead, that I bought on December the 19th, and I found it like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like end of February. And I said, oh, well, before I throw this one away, I'll look at it one more time. And it had five out of six for $4,500.
Yeah, and it's no good because it's over a year
old.
Right?
No.
Oh,
no.
It was good.
Okay, so you're telling me the more money that you make. Hold on, let me get down. The 90 plus the 4,500. Did you go to the casino and win anything there?
The mortgage got paid.
That's right. I'm back up to date on everything.
Well, that's good, man. I'm glad to hear things are going
well. All right, Bill, now that we've straightened all this mess out, why don't you go spend some of that money with the kids, man? We'll talk to you again soon.
I will, man. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the greatest radio show in the history of internet radio. Real Racing USA.
I knew he'd get it wrong. Inside Florida
Inside
Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
But
bye,
it
Bill.
Is Real Racing USA. It's just
the... got way too many shows on this thing.
Inside. So, hey, speaking of shows, are you ever going to do
one
again?
What about this Saturday deal?
Are you ever going to do one again?
I kind of have been hesitating to do it because I know the...
He's gone. We cut him off.
That's it.
That's what happens when you overstay your welcome here on Inside Florida Racing.
That's right. You're going to learn.
The dump button is real.
Dump button.
You're going to learn at the end never to answer a question from Bonehead.
Before we take another break and come back with some real guests. Oh, turn him off. Yeah, that thing. I don't know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Let's see, they don't hear it, but it's just it's music to our ears.
It's ringing in our ears.
So tomorrow, Rob. Remember, you're gonna join us tomorrow night, at least by phone.
Yeah, I'm gonna call in and
on the Real Racing USA live show because we have part one. Actually, we had the prologue to Motor Wars last week. We're gonna have part one of Motor Wars tomorrow night.
And you know, I didn't get to listen to the whole thing yet. I'm going to listen to the whole thing. And the thing is, it's an old argument. Me and Jack were talking about.
We're speaking about Wayne Anderson's comments.
Old argument about the motors, and we've kind of brought it up before when we had Don in here, and he basically, his answer is going to be, it's the same thing. The thing's been around for a long time.
His answer right in front of me.
And it's the same thing that I already knew, but here's the issue that this only thing that I say is that no problem with the spec motor. The parts, you know, that can be bought, you know, at the dealership. I just feel that not certain businesses should be able to put them together, that anybody should. And what I mean by that is that these parts are supposed to be, they don't need machining to go together. So each of the parts, if you went to any dealership and said, bring me three heads that are going to go on this, three of these spec heads, they're going to bring you three heads, you're going to measure them, and they're all going to be real close within a certain tolerance. You make that the tolerance. And that's it. You don't let anybody go beyond that. And you start pulling heads off of motors again, or you start pulling something off. Now, there's always argument against that, saying, oh, well, with this motor, you don't have to pull anything apart. That's the problem. If you're a racer, okay, and you don't have a progressive spec motor in your car, and I'm only using progressive because that's who I deal with at where I race at. I feel like that. When you drive the car through and they see you've got the spec motor, they run you on through. But if I come through with my flat top motor, they want to pull my head off, they can do that by the way the rules read. I just don't feel that that's right. And is there an answer to any of this? I certainly don't have the answer to it, or I'd be Kreskin. I got an answer to a lot of things, but I don't have the answer to it other than I have motor builders of my own who could put this motor together for me. I don't believe the parts cost anywhere close to $16,000. I think a lot of that money has to do with putting it together. And do I think that there are builders out there that are on the list that are building for this that will take extra money to make one faster? Absolutely. Okay? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, McGonagall.
And I'll tell you, hold on, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something just like they did the other day about Carl Edwards, okay? Don't insult my intelligence, okay, as a race car driver, knowing how these guys are, for me not to believe
that none of these motor builders would be on the take for more money to make one guy's motor better than the other. And that's just how it is. And Don, if you're listening out there or this gets back to you, you know I'm right, dude. Okay? You know I'm right. Is this going to hurt Steve from Progressive Racing Engines? Absolutely not. He doesn't even need to build these things. Okay? He doesn't even need to build them. He's got a business that absolutely does not need auto racing to survive. So I don't think the motivation that people think is as much as they think. But is there some collusion there? I'm sure that there is. How can we fix it? Let everybody have the same parts. Let us put our own motors together and get some guys in the tech shed that are have some cojones.
Well, tomorrow night anyway.
Pull them apart. We're
going to explore this whole subject tomorrow night, because it's not just this is not just a Florida issue, although as quite often is the case, Florida seems to be in the center of storms. But we are going to have Dwayne McGunigal on tomorrow night, and Jeff Choquette's got some comments, and we have a statement from Don Nerone about the whole deal.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking to Finney tonight, right? We're going to talk to Brian Finney.
Yeah,
tonight?
As a matter of fact, the reason we're talking about this right now, really,
right,
is because Sunbelt Series, Sunbelt Super Late Model Series, Florida's premier Super Late Model Series, starts this Friday night at Orlando Speed World. We'll be there to cover that, of course, and it'll be fun.
And I will say this about the Sunbelt Series. Has been running for many years. Obviously, it outlived the Florida Pro Series. Don won that battle, which it was a long battle. He's even got the track now, but
It just goes in a circle, don't it?
It's very ironic. I don't want to get into all that, but it's very ironic. Yes, there again, people don't know what we're talking about. Some do. The Sunbelt Series is a great series. I know the Finneys, he has a brother. They used to run back in the Florida Pro days. I used to run with them when they were young. Gurr.
Good guys. Right
we're
there.
We're all getting
right
old.
Right there, right behind you.
Yeah, we're all getting older. Right.
And, the one right there by you.
But
Jane in the pink.
Yeah, there he is.
That's Brian.
Yeah, see, he's getting old. He's getting gray, too. Look at it.
School teacher, he is. School teacher.
But I know
elementary school teacher, and he's going to be with us here in a second.
He's been driving at it for years, you know, and let's see what he's got to say about it. You know, and the thing about the motors, I can't get away from it. Definitely, it's saved the money for these guys. It definitely has. But we'll talk about it tomorrow. It's a tough subject, you know.
You are certainly being quiet on this. You're lost, aren't you?
Yes.
You think you're lost? Let me tell you something. I've taken more notes on this whole deal when I talk to people.
Yeah.
Because I get that same look. So I start taking notes, and I try to figure it out. I call other people up that I know I can talk to, like, more easily, perhaps, and I'll say, okay, now you know I don't know anything about this, so explain it to me, A, B, C. And so I take these, you know, fastidious notes and go on to all this deal.
Jack,
you
want to
hear something
fan.
Funny,
I
though?
I just like what? To go to racetracks and meet race car drivers.
Yes.
And
I'll tell you something that's funny, and nobody's going to believe me when I tell them this. I mean, I raced for a long time, and I raced, and I sat, my car sat.
Nobody knows that you raced.
My car sat for 6 or 7, 6 years.
Did you really race?
And then listen, I started racing again. Let Pletcher do the motor for me when he was still, working. I have had the same crank and rods, in my motor since 1998.
Some people would say that might be something about your performance.
No, it's not because my performance. I don't have motor problems. So, listen, it just takes time to get back into it. I had great performance when I raced before. Anyways, leave me alone, Jack. The thing is that my crank and rods in the motor from 1998. My motor still puts out plenty of horsepower. But I don't have near the money that these guys are talking about, $30,000 to put in a motor to race late models. It's crazy.
All right, now listen. When we come
to
back
run for $3,000,
when we come back, we're talking to we're going to talk to Ivan and Lloyd. Go back to Clewiston and talk about Ivan, that whole deal with Ivan and Lloyd. Then we're going to talk to Brian Finney, and we're going to talk to Eugene Davis, who won the race at Brown Motorsports Spectacular at Auburndale.
Okay? I bet you Eugene's got some cranking rods that are over 10 years old.
I bet he does too.
Are we going to break?
Real Racing USA.
Must be.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
from Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
Hi, this is David Strimmy, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
I'm Gary LaPlante, owner of the Florida Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Oh, all right.
Inside Florida Racing.
Having a good time today. A lot of interesting topics and conversation that we have. You're listening to Bonehead Rob Elting here and CC Brooks and Jack, and we've got the winner of the Clueston race, Ivanette Lloyd. How you doing?
The professor.
Hey, how are y'all doing tonight?
Well, we're doing okay. You're doing okay. You went away with a pretty good check the other night. You know, I hear a lot of complaints about what was going on. Let me hear your take on the whole deal.
They must be talking about just the racetrack.
Yeah.
The time it took.
Yeah.
I mean, it took some time. I don't know. Like I told Ken on the front straightaway after it's over with, I mean, I've seen a lot worse. You know, the weather's just been, we've been getting a lot of rain, and believe me, last weekend we went to South Carolina and run a Southern All-Stars race, and it was terrible. So it's not just down here, it's everywhere. And with the weather, until it starts getting a little better, that's probably what you're going to have.
Yeah. Now, Ivan, let's tell the folks a little bit about your background in racing and exactly where you're racing at today.
Well, I mean, I started at Ocala whenever I was 14. My dad had raced back in the late 50s and early 60s when they used to have the old sportsman cars, the open wheel cars. And then he started getting into the late models with the old Chevrolets and then on the Camaros and stuff. But he mainly just raced here in Volusia and the old Lake City dirt track. And he stuck me in a late model whenever I was 14. I'd race go-karts a little bit before that. And pretty much spent most of my time around here until I got to be about 30 years old.
How old are you now?
I just turned 41. So I've been racing, you know, cars for quite a long time, but we just started traveling. When Ray Miller got his series going, we started doing some traveling with his stuff, and then we had an opportunity to run some of the open motor cars a little bit, and then once I got a business started and could kind of take on some of the financial burden myself, we really started getting out and racing. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've raced pretty much all over the Southeast.
And Ray Miller is the promoter of Southern All-Stars, is that?
No, Ray's the promoter of the NLMF.
Oh, that's right, the National Late Model Challenge.
We started picking up. I always wanted to go run the Southern All-Star stuff back when BJ was still running it. I spent some time working for Ronnie Johnson up in Tennessee, and he'd won the championship and run quite a few of their races. And, you know, you get to race against guys that, you know, some guys have a job, and it's a pretty cool bunch of guys to race with. And that just got us to traveling more, and now, you know, the older I got, the more involved we really got into the traveling, and now we pretty much, you know, try and find something to race. We raced 66 races last year, and we're going to try and do about 75 this year.
So you make a living at it, pretty much?
No, my wife says I don't make any money. No, I actually have a machine shop here in Ocala. We do tool and die work, and we do some industrial fabrication. We got some CNC machines and stuff like that. That's what I really do have a real job I have to show up to every day. But, you know, I can get off anytime I want to and stay gone for 3 and 4 days if I need to. So we pretty much race full time. We're full time racers with a job.
75 races. That's a lot of racing, man.
So you've got to be excited that your old stomping ground there, they opened the park back up.
Yeah, I am. I was kind of skeptical to begin with. We were doing some traveling, and I'm still to the point I still like the traveling. It's starting to wear on me a little bit. But I think it's a move in the right direction for Mike and Angie. Really don't know them that well, just met them a little bit in the last couple months here. He did a good job. I think he's got a good surface. It got a little rough the first night. Yeah, they got through it. The weather's just been terrible with a lot of rain, and, you know, any new racetrack or put clay on an existing track or any new racetrack, it just takes time to kind of season the clay, I guess you would call it. And, you know, the straightaways were smooth, so that's a plus. That means that just goes to show you that just the cars, you know, the momentum of the cars is just mounting the clay up. It really didn't, you know, break up into a hole except for the one where Mike got the tractor stuck, from what I understand. And I think when the weather gets a little better and they get more familiar with the clay, I think he's going to have a pretty good racetrack.
Well, you know, he got the tractor stuck there because he was spending night and day on there. He actually fell asleep at the wheel.
I can believe that. It's probably quite a bit of change, you know, if you're going out there and bringing it off. And, yeah, I'm glad. The place is, you know, 5 miles from my shop. And we do have, like, last Friday night, we weren't planning on running that race. And we were going to race up at North Georgia for a Southern All-Stars race, and we ended up getting that race actually got called off because of the cold. And we started on Thursday night. We actually borrowed a steel motor and put it in one of my cars and had to go get some tires and, you know, get everything done. And, you know, we ended up going out there and running second opening night, which is pretty cool. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I won the last race they had on dirt when Paul Petrie had the racetrack and was fixing to pave it. They had a Run What You Brung race, and I ended up winning that, and I was, you know, trying hard to win the first race back on dirt again, but, you know, Shane kicked my butt, and he did a good job. So,
yeah, he was able to use that lap traffic pretty effectively, huh?
Yeah, he Shane's a good racer. I've known him, me and him been friends for a long time. We kind of grew up together, me, him, and James Powell, and a couple others, you know, that just messed around this area here. Pretty good friends, and Shane's a good race car driver, and, you know, he's got his stuff on a roll. I mean, he killed them guys during Speed Weeks up at Brunswick. And, you know, he's got the momentum going, and he's trying to race as much as he can, which is, you know, a smart move. When you get your momentum going, you definitely want to be racing, you know, taking as much money as you can.
So, Ivan, tell me about, you know, we're in such a motor issue with asphalt late models. What kind of motors you guys run in your cars? I hear these national late models, and we hear crate motors. I guess at a place like Clewiston, you could have probably 6-cylinder, you'd have been fine.
I run the NLMS motors, National Late Model Motors. I've won race championship 5 times, and I've raced for Ray a lot in the past. So, you know, all my stuff is all his stuff because that's what we were geared up to do. And I had to sell a couple of the motors I had for his series off to be able to obtain the financing to, you know, get the aluminum motors in here. With Kevin Terry from HPI helping me, you know, with that deal there, we ended up getting some aluminum motors in here, and we've been running them for a while. My cousins, Frankie and Grady Lloyd, from up at Golden Isle Speedway, I drove for them for a couple years. And, you know, I'm in the middle. To answer your question, I'm in the middle. I'm on the NLMS motor.
Right.
I'm sure there's going to be some racetracks that, you know, that the East Bay motors are probably going to be pretty good. I think what Ken's trying to do, you know, it sounds good to me. I think, you know, it's going to even itself out with the weight brakes. I think there's some motors like Golden Isles when they go up there and when they go to East Alabama that are really hooked up and fast. I think the East Bay motors are going to be a little bit better even with the weight penalty. I'm definitely, you know, not a big fan of crate motors. There's a reason why I didn't go that route, but they seem like they, you know, are pretty well off too, especially where we're at this past weekend. You know, crate motors, I think, were one of them led the race for a while, and I know, I think the boy that runs second, I think he had a crate motor.
Yeah, now Ocala don't look like it's going to be a crate motor track to me. It looked like you guys getting around need some horsepower there.
I think after the time, well, the time change this weekend, we're going to have sun on the racetrack a little bit longer. I think you'll be a little bit surprised here after the weather warms back up. That, I think that racetrack is going to seal off and be pretty slick, and I think a crate motor is going to be probably, you know, pretty good.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
I talked to a driver who has a crate model, and he said that he's looking forward to doing more Ocala, that he thought his, you know, was going to work out fine there with the crate motor.
I think, what, the 156 had a crate motor, or the 145 had a crate motor, and his, I think he finished fourth in Ocala. I'm not sure.
I know there was a couple of them out there that ran real well, and I think once the time, the sun gets on the racetrack after the time change, you know, the sun changes directions and gets over there, and it don't shade turns one and two like it did, you know, last weekend. And I think then that, you know, crate motor, I think, is going to get a little bit better. And, you know, at New Henry County, that's the first time I've ever seen that place when we got there Saturday night. And, you know, it surprised me a crate motor run as well as it did down there. Even once the later in the race, when the track started getting a little bit of traction to it, the guys were still pretty strong. So I think it's a good mix. I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to work out over a period of a year, look at all the different racetracks they go to and see how them guys pan out with them.
I was just going to ask you about that. I mean, you've probably been to a lot of these tracks. How do you see this panning out at some of like Waycross and Screven or whatever, however you pronounce that, and up there at East Alabama? How do you think this will be? Like, you get good car counts, good racing?
I believe so. I think it's the one track that Ken may be a little surprised where he may struggle for cars is Waycross. Typically, they, you know, Waycross has always struggled for a good high car count. A quality field he'll have. There are some quality cars in that area, but a high car count, I think he may come up a little bit short there. That place is, I don't know if you guys have been around any of the oil-based racetracks. That place is lightning fast, and when something happens, you tear up a lot of stuff.
I gotcha.
It's you know, it's packed down hard. It's just like racing an asphalt track.
Is that the way Lake City Speedway used to be?
Yes, Lake City used to be oil-based.
Yeah.
We raced there a little bit, but it never really got packed down. Lake City, Ocala, Jacksonville, Brunswick, and Waycross were your, and the big Lake City track is now paved.
Yeah.
Back when I was growing up, they were all oil-based racetracks. Well, Brunswick and Waycross were the two that were always stayed packed down and was just like racing on asphalt.
Right.
Both Lake City tracks, Ocala, and the Jacksonville track always kind of moved material and had some debris flying up behind the cars. They never really were packed in.
So you're saying guys don't necessarily like to go there because they wreck, they tear up equipment if they do get into trouble.
I've raced there a lot through the years because it's only about 3 hours from my house, and I grew up, you know, racing on the oil base, so I knew quite a bit about it. And, you know, the way you drive the cars and the way you set the cars up, it's something, you know, that just a lot of people don't know anything about because they've never raced on something with that type of traction in it. So, yeah, I've raced there a bunch, and through the years, I never really tore anything up until last summer. We went up there on just a regular show one night. We were off somewhere racing, and it rained out, and that was on our way back. And I stopped by there and knocked a motor swap out of a car. So, yeah, it's a place you can really tear a car up pretty good. But the racing is pretty good sometimes. You know, they can have good races there. And if nothing happens in front of you, you're in good shape. But when something does happen, you're on for a ride.
So what?
How many do you think are going to travel?
How many do you think is going to travel to Ken's races?
Yeah.
You know, judging from the two races he's had and the car counts he's had, I think he's going to have a pretty good following.
I mean, if 20 travel, he'll have big shows because each of those tracks have got to have, you know, at least 20 local guys, don't they?
Yeah, and Screven's going to have a big car count. Screven has a pretty good following.
Screven sounds like a racing joint to me.
If you've been to the New Henry County Speedway we were at this past weekend,
right.
Screven is pretty much just like that.
Oh, okay.
It's not a big racetrack at all. it has the same type of clay on it, believe it or not. You know, it can be abrasive, and sometimes it can wear a tire. But most of the time, that guy out there, Red, he keeps pretty wet, and it gets pretty slippery. And the racing up there is usually pretty good, but it's the same type of racetrack, basically the same shape.
How many cars you think they should start on a track like Clewiston? I kind of asked Showtime earlier, Sean Smith. He gave me an answer. How many you think they should run on the smaller tracks? Feature.
Yeah, I don't know. I differ in opinion sometimes. I think, you know, if his field is a 26-car field, he should start 26.
Yeah. Track's what it is, huh?
Sir?
I said the track, every track's different, and you have to learn to deal with whatever's presented you. Isn't that the way?
Yeah, I look at it this is the way I look at it. It's, you know, the more experienced drivers, it's up to them to pay attention to what's going on. Some of the stuff that happened down there Saturday night was, just drivers making mistakes. The track was rough, and you're bouncing through holes. And naturally, anytime you're racing on a rough racetrack, there's definitely more contact. And with everybody trying to hug the inside of the track, and you're, you know, trying to get your nose up underneath the guy in front of you, sometimes you're just going to run into it. But also, some of the stuff, you know, that you see down there is, you know, people driving over their heads and running into cars. I guess that's going to happen too.
I'll tell you what, when you were really racing, when we went without any, you know, caution laps, and they were racing lap after lap, it was good. I mean, it was really good, and us fans were, you know, in the stands enjoying it, and it made the cold bearable. But it was those cautions that were just, you know, it just made it hard.
The temperature dropped 10 or 15 degrees during every caution, I mean. That's basically what was going on.
When I got out of the car, I was kind of surprised how cold it got. I hate to criticize any racetrack for running, you know, when they have stuff like that. It's you know, we're all racing on the same racetrack. You know, the guys at the driver's meeting, they told us you couldn't, you know, take it easy on the first couple laps. But, you know, a bunch of race car drivers out there.
Yeah, that always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was one of them. I tried to get by there a couple times on the outside, and I'm up there, you know, bouncing through the holes wide open like an idiot trying to pass some people for, you know, to pick up a spot. And, I mean, yeah, I was just fortunate I never turned the thing around, but I was pretty close myself a couple times.
Yeah, Rick, I was standing up in the tower next to Rick Angies, who was calling the race.
With the heater on.
Yeah, and there was one point where
must be nice.
He described it as Ivan and Lloyd just barely kept it off the wall, coming off a two.
Yeah, it was when we unloaded the car today. My dad got it out of the trailer, and we got it down on the ground, and I was walked by the right rear quarter panel. I go, "When did I hit the wall?" He goes, "I don't know. I thought you hit it a couple times." I looked at the right rear; it's all scraped up. I was like, "I don't remember hitting the wall." But I'm kind of a fan of the little small racetrack. I raced at Putnam County quite a bit, and that's a little small racetrack. And, you know, Cala is definitely far from a, you know, super speedway. So I'm just a big fan of them small racetracks. I know a lot of the guys that run in Ken's series. Some of these guys have just raced locally at whatever their home track is. Not a lot of them has traveled. I don't know a lot of them guys. And like I said, I've been racing these cars around Florida for, you know, over 20 years now. And, you know, some of these guys I just don't know. So I think he's got a big learning curve this summer, and I think the guys that race with him are going to have a big learning curve, but it's just going to make everybody get better to go to some of these different racetracks, experience new things. And he's got some guys that are, you know, got good equipment and look like they put forth a little bit of effort. That Sean Smith, I guess is how you pronounce his name.
Sean.
Yeah, I'm going to straighten Rick out on that.
I've never, you know, I met him this weekend, the first time. I've actually raced with him a couple times and never met him. I know Mr. Phil Thompson. Helping him along there a little bit, I think, with his motors or something.
Right.
I've known Bill for a couple of years, and I have a lot of respect for Bill. He's always done a real good job, and I know he's helping him out. And that guy seems like, you know, he's a good racer. I think his name is Josh Peacock. I think there's two of them.
There's two of them.
Yeah.
Or that are from East Bay, and yeah, I'm like everybody else. I get on Karnak or something after I get home on Sundays, and you know, find out who won at East Bay and who won here and who won there. So I see these names. And actually some of the people that were down there Saturday night, like Johnny Collins, we've raced together for a long time. And Shane, like I say, we and him grew up together. We've known one another for 35 years.
Yeah.
Most of the guys I do know, but even some of the guys I don't, I've seen, you know, they have good equipment, look like they're putting forth an effort. And, you know, so you've got Keith and Jackie, from what I understand, going to run the whole thing. And, you know, Keith Nosbitt has been around here for a long time. And, you know, Keith is a very good racer, and he's won races at East Bay during speed weeks when...
That's right, against the big boys.
Competition, yeah, you know. Keith is a real good racer. I have a lot of respect for the guy. You know, I've watched that guy win races when the best are here, and I've watched him, you know, outrun my butt, you know, several times, you know, plenty of times, you know, when I was going to East Bay. And, you know, so the guy's got a good mix of guys, and, you know, if them guys are smart, pay attention, you know, they'll take in, like, Keith, people like that have a lot of experience and are good race car drivers. You know, some of the other guys will learn from that, and then when you go back to places like New Henry County that are small and a little difficult to get around, you know, them guys will have their experience level be up, and I think they'll, you know, you'll have less cautions and a better race.
That's cool. Now, here's the $64 question. What about when they go to the asphalt race at Charlotte?
Yeah. I can't wait for that. That's going to be good. It's going to be really interesting.
I've done that several times. You know, Ray in the past has had some asphalt races at Lake City when Bert was still up there and was running that in the Florida Pro Days.
Sure.
We went to Ocala once. We've been to the little track in Albany, Cordial. So we have done that in the past, and I wished I could tell you I was going to be here for that race because I've got a lot of experience on asphalt, in asphalt cars and in dirt cars on asphalt, and maybe a good chance for me to try and pick up some extra money. But I think that some of the guys, I think, are going to pick right up on it. Some of the guys are going to struggle because you have to change your car around quite a bit. But there are some guys that are running that, like Shane Williams and Johnny Collins, that are going to probably show up that have experience, you know, doing that.
Sure.
It's going to be a pretty neat race. I've never been to that racetrack. I heard it's kind of slippery and pretty hard to get a hold of.
Sure enough.
I don't think that I think everybody will be kind of surprised how well the dirt cars get around there. Well, they just, everything about them promotes traction on the asphalt, the body. You know, they're going to run 14-inch wide wheels, so they're going to have a lot of contact patch. The cars are a lot lighter. And, you know, they got the big spoiler stuck up on the back with the side pieces. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people that had never seen them.
Well, Rob, you have some experience on Charlotte County.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. I think that the dirt cars should probably outrun some of the times that we run there because they're going to have a bigger tire. They're going to have better traction. I don't know how they'll turn. That's going to be the trick. How they're actually going to turn, but you know, it'll be like anything else. Everybody's going to deal with it. They're not going to let asphalt cars there. It's got to be a dirt car. And you know, Ivan, I wanted to say something. You brought up Bert in Lake City, and I remember when I was running the Florida Pro Series, I ran the Florida Pro Series of Bert there many times, and I remember the flagman Pat Mitchum. Remember when he died?
Right.
And I remember Ann and Patricia, they used to help me out with my car. They'd give me some money to help me buy tires for my car and stuff. And I remember they were a big fan of Ivan at Lloyd.
Yeah, they're pretty good family friends for a long time. I grew up, you know, knowing Pat. Pat had had a lot to do with a lot of the racetracks in this area as far as maintaining them, doing the surface. He was an outstanding motor grader operator for a dirt track. And you know, just like Bert, didn't know Bert till he moved to Lake City and got the track, and just being from this area, you know, got to know Bert too. And that's two people, kind of odd you bring that up. I mean, that's two people that, you know, Florida short track racing knows a lot.
That's right.
Whether people know it or not, you know, Bert did a lot of good stuff.
Absolutely did.
For everybody involved, not just the asphalt world. I mean, I don't think some of the people realize what he did for, you know, some of the dirt guys. I never raced. I think I drove an asphalt car up there one time.
I think you did one time when we were racing. I remember that you came there and drove somebody's car.
And no matter where I seen Bert, you know, it was a 20 or 30 minute conversation, just catching up on how I'd been doing and stuff like that. And like I say, with Pat, you know, I grew up knowing Pat. Still see Anna Patricia, you know, pretty much once a week I'll run into one of them.
Really?
So yeah.
You tell them you talked to Bonehead on the radio show and.
Okay.
They'll definitely get. I had car number 27. I used to have a big old Great Dane I used to bring to the racetracks. And
yeah, I've watched you race a couple of times. I used to make, you know, trips to New Smyrna and speed.
Right.
If we weren't racing, I used to love going to New Smyrna and watching the big shows. Some of the bigger races like the Red Eye 100, I think they had.
Yeah, yeah.
The Governor's Cup. I'd always try and go to the Governor's Cup and stuff like that because I was, you know, a fan of people that I watched growing up. Like, I've always been a fan of, like, David Rogers. People like that, you know, race whenever I was a kid.
Those are some good races back then, though, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Really was. I mean, when I started racing late models like in 96, 97, 98, and I did it because those guys that were racing, I wanted to race with those guys. Whether they beat up on me or not, I wanted to race with Jimmy Cope and Dick Anderson and Dave Pletcher, David Rogers. You get all those guys together in a race, and you're in that race. Doesn't matter where you finish.
Right, exactly. And growing up around here and going to those races, I used to, you know, that's the guys that I like watching the race. And it was, I'm just a fan of racing. I don't care if the guy's racing a mini stock at Citrus on Friday night or if he's running a, you know, the Governor's Cup at New Smyrna. I like it. I'm always going. My wife kind of gets a little aggravated with me because if I'm not racing, I'm going to, you know, somewhere to watch a race.
So where can fans catch up with you next, Ivan?
Pretty sure the weather's going to be pretty nice this weekend. We're going to North Georgia Speedway and then Cleveland, Tennessee, to Cleveland Speedway Saturday night. And we got two Southern All-Star races this weekend. And we got one car sitting here ready, and the car I run Saturday night, we're fixing to take the steel motor out of it, put a open motor in it, and have both cars ready and go up there. And this is kind of the opening weekend for the points this year, and I think we're going to end up running the whole Southern All-Stars again for the points. I ended up winning the points last year, and I think they're paying a little bit of extra money this year, and we're going to strike out and see if we can do that and do
all right.
Bigger shows.
All right, man.
Well, good luck, Ivan. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and congratulations on the big win. You never know. Let us hear that you won a few races in a row. You might be the Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I was on there today and seeing where Shane got it, and that made me kind of jealous.
Well, you know, he won. did you see how he got it? Would he win 5 races in 4 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that?
He did pretty doggone good.
Yeah, he's been on a roll. And when he was up at Golden Isles during Speed Week, I don't think that was – I think that was something Frankie and Grady were just putting on up there and paying a little bit of money. And, I mean, he kicked some pretty good cars. But Shane's been on a roll. You know, if I was Shane, I'd be racing as much as I could. And I think that that's what he's trying to do.
Well, you need to do the same because you're on a roll too.
All right, man.
All right, we got to go. Make sure you tell the Mitchums, Ann and Patricia, that Rob said hey, and I always appreciated everything they did for me, and they know that.
I'll tell them that, and thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
There you go, Ivan at Lloyd. Winner.
Don't get no better than that, man.
Okay, now it is time for the shameless plug for Fancy Work Embroidery.
Yes, Fancy Work Embroidery, our new shirts.
That's
they look
right.
So nice.
That is fancyworkembroidery.com. That's with an I, not a Y. And Casey Mays there. And they do a great job. They did our Inside Florida Racing shirts. As a matter of fact, they're putting together some more for us. And they're actually putting together an Inside Florida Racing jacket for me. I'm looking forward to getting that. But they do everything. They do silk screening if you need t-shirts.
Something I wanted to tell you.
Cece's in charge of fashion at Real Racing USA.
Karnak on the back of our shirts and a little thing.
That should not be there.
I was getting hit in the head by people behind me with cups and stuff the other night. They were like, we hate Karnak. And I turned around like, what are you guys talking about? But they were only kidding. They were only kidding. They were only kidding.
They put that on the shoulder, I think.
Well, it's so big, I think they figured the back was the appropriate place for it.
Were you talking about my head?
Your head. Fancyworkembroidery.com, silk screening. If you need T-shirts, they do promotional items, bumper stickers, our polo shirts. They do crew shirts. They do the racing suits.
Let's talk about
jackets,
bumper
everything.
Stickers real quick while
bumper
we're
stickers.
Still talking about them.
But that's fancyworkembroidery.com. That's fancy with an I.
That's right. And do they have a phone number?
They do, and bad me, I left
fired.
Their phone number.
If
you're
you
fired.
Go
there
to Florida Stock Car Racing, right on Florida Stock Car Racing, there's a place there where it has their number.
There you go.
But they do great work, and thank you so much to Casey.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
Bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers, folks. We have our Real Racing USA bumper stickers, and I want to tell you folks out there, you need to do whatever you got to do to get one on your car, because if you win a feature, okay, and that sticker's on the side of your car, and you produce the picture of you with the date on that picture that you won that, Jack's giving you money. How
really?
Much?
Where did he come up with that?
When was this announced?
He's giving you money.
I missed this.
He's giving you money.
Well,
I don't know
how much. I missed it too, but
I don't know how much, but I'd get the sticker on the car if I were you.
Well, let me tell you.
And you can always get a sticker from myself or Jack or Robbie. You see us out of the race.
Remember, you win.
Just come up and ask us for it.
Bring the picture to Jack.
So let me
tell you. He's going to give you money. I guarantee you, Jack will pull money out of his pocket.
Let me tell you.
And give you if you show a picture to
him. Let me
tell
you what happened, okay?
Yeah.
Now, we do have.
Are you interrupting me?
Yes, I
just
am.
Just because I say you're giving money to people.
Yes, I am. We have Eugene Davidson on the line waiting for us, and we'll be right there. But I want to tell you guys what happened.
Okay.
Bill Green was went to Auburndale, and he was going to do a thing. He was there for us and the Tampa Tribune, and he was going to do a thing with one of the classes. He was all these bumper stickers were being all these stickers were being put on the cars.
Mm-hmm.
So he picked one class, and he was going to give the winner. Real Racing USA was adding $50 to the winner of the race through right. the purse, right?
Yeah. So is that how much they're getting?
So listen to this. So Bill, he does the deal, and I guess I'm confused by it myself right now, but I guess it was supposed to be the Sportsman or Street Stock or whatever. Well, he goes down and he gives $50 to the to the wrong guy. So now there's a guy up there in the class we were supposed to give the money to who didn't get his money, so now we got to track him down.
What's Bill Green's phone number?
Anyway, we'll get it straightened out. The guy will get his deal. But we have with us here the winner of the Brown Motorsports Spectacular at Auburndale Speedway, Eugene Davidson. Welcome to Inside Florida Racing, Eugene.
Thank you.
All right. So now you had to start at the rear of the field, 18 cars. How did you ever find your way to the front?
Oh, there was only 18? I thought there was 100.
That's what it seemed like, probably.
Yes, there sure did. Yeah, there was only 18 cars, and it was a long race, but it was a good one.
How many laps was it?
I'm not sure how many they ran. I think it's like 30 or 35 laps.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to count them. I was pretty busy.
So it says in my notes, Eugene, that you're 64 years old, and I like to hear that because I'm 41, so I still got plenty of years of racing left in me, don't I?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm going to run another 20 years, I think, if I can keep up going like I was doing last night.
Yeah, I think they're going to make it harder and harder for us to afford to keep racing, though, the way they're doing things.
You got it.
Was there a lot of cautions in the deal? Did you get a lot of restarts?
There was only two or three cautions, and they were in the early beginning, and that helped me more than anything else. But I never caught the leaders, so they were gone when I got out of traffic. And then I got a caution that caught them up to me, so it wasn't too bad from there. My car runs extremely well through the corner. And, of course, that gives it straightaway speed that most of the other guys don't have. So I usually pull up on the inside of them and pass them on the inside. It's the easiest way to get by.
How many laps did they run?
I think it was like 30.
Where did you start?
I started dead last.
Man, so you got the hard charger and everything.
I got the whole work.
That's right. You got the whole nine yards.
Now, how long did you spend in tech, and tell us exactly what they looked at?
Oh, mercy. In tech, I spent the rest of the night. The full of rear end out, looked at it. The full of transmission out, looked at it. Pull the flywheel out and weighed it. They pulled the clutch out and weighed it. I guess by that time they got the tire. They were tired of tearing things out, so they quit.
What, they just didn't want to pay you or what?
No, I don't think it was that. They poured these seconds.
They have good tech.
Yeah.
That's thorough.
That was really good tech. It was done extremely well. Very, very sportsmanlike. I mean, the whole thing went really well.
Eugene, do you have a brother or a son named Leroy?
I've heard of him.
He's pulling your leg. You've been funning with people all night tonight.
Hey, man, I'm having a good time tonight, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. You guys, or maybe an uncle named Harley? Well, it sounds like that you guys had a great time at the Brown Motorsports Spectacular. Was there plenty of kids there? How'd the kids thing go?
Yeah, it was really good. The kids thing is the biggest thing at the racetrack. It turned out really well.
How long have you been racing, man?
Oh, about 50 years.
50 years?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you start?
Started at a little track in Melbourne called O'Galley Speedway.
Are you kidding me? That's where you started?
Yeah. Me and old Bill Maples. You probably heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
We ran together for about 20 years, and I ran Orlando for another 10 or so years, and run New Smyrna for a few years, and I moved over here in Winter Haven just to run this little quarter-mile track. It's the neatest little quarter-mile track you've ever been on. and it took me 20 years, but I've finally got it figured out pretty much.
How long's it been there, Eugene? Auburndale.
Well, it was his name, Winter Haven Speedway, back in the 60s when I first started running.
All right.
So it changed its name 2 or 3 times.
Always been asphalt?
No, it was dirt in the very beginning and stayed dirt for a little while, and then they switched it to asphalt. It was really rough track for a long, long time.
So, man, you've seen a lot of changes, no doubt.
Oh, yes, and the new owners that took this place over there is just doing wonders with it.
Yeah.
I'd like to invite everybody to come to Auburndale and check this little track out, because it's the neatest little quarter-mile track you've ever been to. And it's just the greatest thing to be able to race there and enjoy it. I go just for the fun of it, but I thought this year I'd just run for a championship for 1 year, give it up, let my son have my car, and let him get out and play with it. This car is about 7 years old, but I'm still running. It's been beat up pretty bad, but we refreshed it this winter season. We're ready for the year.
What is the single biggest thing that you've seen change in racing since the days at O'Galley?
The single biggest thing that I've seen change is the purses have just gone to nothing.
The purses have gone to nothing?
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny you say that. I've been reading some books lately about promoters back in the day.
Right.
Guys like Ed Otto and people like that. And, you know, that's the one thing that sticks out to me when from reading the books and about the history of this whole sport.
I actually made more money in the 60s and 70s than I make today racing, doing identical same thing that I've been doing for 50 years.
Well, not making it, but you mean spending it.
Yeah, well, spending it, yeah. Well, spending twice as much and making half as much.
That's right.
Well, you know, they've got it so turned around these days. You know, when Jack posed the question just then to you, it's the first time I've heard that question posed in a long time, and when I think about racing, what it used to be and what it is today, the single biggest thing that's changed racing is the tire itself. The racing tire itself is totally even things up too well, I guess, you know, and at the expense that's come in because of the tires, you figure what makes racing so expensive these days in a lot of ways is tire. I guess fuel kind of runs in its own way. Well, what do you think about the differences in the tire?
They just switched to a new tire. It's called American Racer Tire.
Right.
And the price is about the same as the Goodyears was that we've run for many, many years. And these tires have about 20% more grip than the other tires did. And there's a little secret to them. As soon as those boys figure it out, I'm going to have a lot of competition.
And what's your son's name?
Tony Davidson.
Tony? And so he'll be in the car maybe next year?
Yeah, he won a couple of races in it out at Auburndale here back in the winter season.
Yeah.
What's the trick you do to the tires? You don't want to tell?
Oh, I think I'm going to hang on to that one. I'm about to run out of tricks.
Hey, listen, I know a trick with those tires, too. I'm not going to say it either, but I know a trick with them, too, because I ran so many years with them. And the new kids today, they got no idea of even how to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's pretty cool to hear that, you know, anytime somebody starts at the tail end of an 18-car feature in a 30-lap race and you come out on top, that's significant.
He out-experiences the whole field.
You think?
Yeah, I think.
And it's 73 years old, and I'll be 65 in September, and we make quite a crew, believe me.
Who's that now?
I said my tech man, Sonny Miles.
His tech man.
Sonny Miles?
Yeah, he's the one that does all my prep for my race car and keeps it going and tore it down the other night. You ever seen us there at midnight?
Well, that's why they spent so much time tearing you guys down, man. You guys are veterans. They were trying to find out all your tricks.
Too much sparence. You got too much sparence.
Yeah, it's sparence is what it is. That's what DW says.
Right.
Well, what I'm curious about, when you mention the purses and how they're not what they used to be, what can you give me an example?
Well, in 1965, I won the championship at Allgalley Speedway in a mini stock, same car that I'm, same class that I'm running in today. And back then, it paid $270 to win a feature, and now it pays $150. And the cost has went astronomically to run this car. You used to run for $25, $35 a week, and now you can't go to the racetrack with $150 just to get there and get in. And that's no money for the rebuilding of these engines. And it takes two or three engines a year to get through a season.
Mm-hmm.
The expenses just went way out left field, but so has everything else.
Yeah.
So the expense that's come in as well... You know, that's just it, man. It costs so much to race, you know, and I don't know what the answer is, you know, for these promoters. They don't have, you know, all the car dealers. They used to sponsor all the racetracks. You know, when I think about the old Tampa Fairgrounds or I think about Golden Gate Speedway, man, they had signs from one end to the other all the way around that racetrack. There was people feeding them money left and right, so they didn't have to suck it out of the race car drivers.
Right. At Golden Gate Speedway, that was really something. I enjoyed that for many, many years, too. And the money has just gotten so bad out there for everybody. Just like my car, I need a sponsor for it so bad it's unreal. If I didn't do all my work myself, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today, because it's just a hobby to me. It's just something to do to keep moving.
Well, this is, I think, one of the reasons why maybe we don't see as many new drivers coming on. You know, because of the cost of setting up a car, it's turned into a very expensive hobby, and without sponsors, it's hard to play on the track.
Absolutely. I have brought and taught probably a half a dozen young guys over the last 20 years to get into sport, and they'll get in and they'll run just super fine, you know, for several years, and then they start doing it themselves, and the money is just so expensive that they of course, they're raising families, too,
mm-hmm.
and they finally just have to slow down and get out of it like I did when I was a young man, first got started and had a family. So it's very tough on the young kids today to try to get out there, so I try to do what I can to keep them involved in it, and I try to teach them what I can as I'm going along.
Well, it sounds like you got a lot to teach, because you're coming from the rear and winning the races in the 18-car field in 30 laps, that sounds pretty good to me. And I hope I see you out there racing another 20 or 25 years. That'd be great.
I'm going to run it as long as I can crawl in the door and sit down.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Inside Florida Racing. We appreciate it. And
any sponsors you want to get out?
No, just thank the car doctor for giving me the opportunity to be there. And I do appreciate you guys giving me a call.
All right. Thanks a lot, Eugene. And we wish you the best, man. We'll catch up with you. Next time I'm up at Auburndale, I'll come look you up. I'd really like to meet you.
Yeah, come check all the guys out. There's some really super guys out there. I mean, there's five guys in my class that can win any night. I'm talking about some really good guys.
Yeah.
People there are just exceptional.
Well, and Dave Brown and Brown Motorsports, can't say enough about what they're helping over there at the Speedway. It's a great deal, man.
Absolutely. We do appreciate it so much, too. So tell everybody to come on down and check this little track out. It's the best little quarter-mile track there probably is in the state of Florida.
There you go. Talk to you soon, Eugene.
Thank you, bud.
Take it easy, Eugene.
Okay.
Say hi to Leroy for me.
And we will be there at Auburndale on May 10th. We'll go up there for Inside Florida Racing. We'll be up there and then checking it out ourselves.
You ate that sandwich already?
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that was good. Take a break. Take a snack.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently, those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting, because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Ray Cook, driver of the number 53 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Oh, yeah. We're back. No more monkeys.
No more monkeys.
Cheer up, Sleepy Jean. It's almost over. Almost. You're in the last part of the second hour.
The show's flown by.
Yeah, the show has flown by. You know, when we got all this information, it's amazing when you start talking to these folks how time flies by. It was interesting to talk to Ivanette Lloyd earlier. He definitely is as a character in his own realm there. Of dirt racing. He's 41 years old and he's been racing all those years. And it was amazing. We were in Ocala at that race, Ken Kenny's first race there. When they did the introductions, there was no cheering for anybody except for when they got to Ivanette Lloyd.
That's
the
right.
Whole place came apart. I remember when they said Sean Smith, we have his little fan club right there where we were sitting that we cheered for him. But, that's about it, man.
I cheer for Justin Choquette, too. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, well, nice guys finish where?
Way in the back.
If you're not first, you're what?
Last.
That's how it goes. Shake and bake. That's it.
But you know what's interesting is that New Hendry, when I was sitting in the stands and people started putting together that I was on Inside Florida Racing, I guess it could be because of...
Was there some mathematicians there?
I have the logos on me, but I ran into some guys that were talking about how they've watched Justin, you know, racing for a while, and they were happy to see him in this series.
Well, I'd like to see Jeff race on the dirt. I've never actually watched him race on the dirt.
Yeah, he's just been on asphalt when he was
doing. Oh, yeah, well, I've seen him dirt racing on asphalt, yes.
Yeah, I asked him how it went up at the Rattler because he wasn't up at, you know, Ocala because he was up at the Rattler. And,
well,
you know,
great for him.
Of the Rattler, he told me he didn't have that great of a time.
What happened at the Rattler? He didn't do well? I thought he did well.
I don't know. He said he had problems with the setup.
I didn't hear who won that. I really didn't look into it. Who won the Rattler there, Jack?
I forget the man's name right now. Wayne Anderson finished second, and I forget the driver's name who finished first. Jeff Choquette finished 16th. He had a horrible outing. He had trouble with his car. He struggled all in practice and everything, and he just went nowhere. Go ahead.
So did the guy that won have one of these motors?
No, he was a northern guy. I mean northern outside of Florida, in other words. North of Florida, which
Yankee.
Is
yeah, got it.
49 states are north of Florida. But
you're a Yankee if you're not from Florida.
This Friday night at Orlando Speed World, the Sunbelt Super Late Model Series, Don Nerone's Wicked Super Late Model Series gets started, and we decided we was going to talk to Brian Finney. who came in second in points last year. Welcome to Inside Florida Racing, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
How so, Brian, what's happening?
Oh, just trying to get ready for the Sunbelt Opener this Friday night.
So you're going to win it?
We went and practiced last Sunday, and we had a really good car. I think we should have a good chance. We've been second, third, fourth the last several times we've been there, and we'd really like to start off the year with a win.
So, Brian, have you been racing all these years pretty solid since the Florida Pro days?
Since Florida Pro days, yeah, we've raced pretty solid. Florida Pro, the Sunbelt Series, we went up to Concord, ran some of the Big Ten races up there. We've pretty much raced all over.
So you should have this racing thing down pat.
I would like to think so. About the time you think you have it down pat, it jumps up and bites you, though.
You have to contend with people like Tim Russell and, you know.
Yeah, just about the time you think you got down pat, this younger kid's got it figured out a little bit better.
You just have to stay on top of it. And the super late model racing in Florida, I think it's probably about the best anywhere. It's just really stout competition, and we're up against really good drivers and really good teams.
So you talk about super late model racing in Florida, and you've been doing it now since, I would say, 1998 or 99, probably somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, 98, 99 there, yes.
And you've been doing it solid since then. So you say that it's pretty good. What are the changes that you've seen? I mean, there's been a lot of changes since then.
The changes, the big changes that we've seen, the competition has gotten a lot better over the years. People have really stepped up their handling packages and their suspension packages, and even the motor programs changed quite a bit.
So, the motor program's a big topic. Tomorrow night on the show, we're going to be mulling over this spec motor deal. You're a proponent of the spec motor, correct?
Well, this year we had to buy a spec motor. We've been up against it last year, and we really felt we were behind in as far as our program goes. We felt like we had good motor packages, but we just felt like we couldn't compete with the spec motor, so we had to buy one.
And they're not expensive, right?
No, they're expensive, but they're not as expensive as you build either flat top type motor or a 9-to-1 motor. We had a 9-to-1 motor built the year before, and we thought we were doing the right thing, and it just didn't work out. So we bought a spec motor for Speedfest, and we plan on running the Sunbelt race this year. And we really think it's going to be a big plus for our package.
Well, let me ask you this now. Rob's over here shaking his head. I know he's got some question. He'll probably ask. He doesn't want to irritate any of us. But hang on to it for a minute, Rob. Besides being fast, obviously, at Orlando Speed World, what's the keys to winning one of these races there, man? I mean, you're talking 125 laps, right?
Yes, 125 laps. We learned from Speedfest with this spec motor package, keeping the tires in the car. Is the biggest thing. We, at Speedfest in the 100-lapper and the 200-lapper, we weren't able to keep the right rear tire in the car. We burned up the right rear, and I didn't think I was. I thought I was conserving it. So the spec motor, it's got a lot of power off the corner, and something that I'm going to have to adjust to, and we're going to have to tailor our handling packages to the spec motor.
The spec motor is full of horsepower. I mean, look at what it is compared to your flat. Did you have a flat-top motor in 98, 99 when you came in?
We did. We ran flat top motors up until 2 years ago, and then we switched to a 9-to-1 motor. And we were back and forth from flat top motors to 9-to-1.
Now, see, I don't mind a new motor coming into the game as long as the competition's even, you know. And I think what has happened is they brought a motor that, if you remember, Brian, let's say in 1999, let's say in 2000, okay, in 2000 there was a flat top motor. There's a 9-to-1 motor, and they even had a high compression motor. The only motor that could have a 750 on it was a flat top steel headed motor. If you had aluminum heads on it, you had to run a 390 or a 2-barrel. Now they have a spec motor. The spec motor is aluminum headed motor. Aluminum headed motor with not flat tops in it, with pretty decent pop ups in it. So that motor, automatically put together, if you put it together just like it is, I think on a 390 would put out probably what my flat top puts out at about 580.
Right.
Okay, I got a steel-headed flat top with dart heads on it now. I had to, go with dart heads because, the old bow ties, without all the work that you had to do to them, and they'd get mad at you, you had to go to that. So you get all that work, okay, and now, it's just like you said, what I was shaking my head about is not the fact that you have that motor in your car now, is that you had to put that motor in your car to be competitive. That, to me, is aggravating.
Anybody that knows myself or everybody at Finney Racing, we were not for the spec motor. We have several motors. We have five motors sitting there.
Yeah, I bet you're not for it.
Or 9-to-1 motors that we just can't compete with that spec motor right now, and we had to do something. We were still competitive, but we weren't where we wanted to be, so we had to buy a spec motor, and it's what we did. You know, as far as the flat top motors and the 9-to-1s now, they're sitting on our shop floor or in other cars. We'll run them at some of the smaller races, but it's just a move we had to do. We didn't want to have to do it. We didn't want to spend the money on it.
Right.
But in order to be competitive with what they're allowing, we felt we had to.
Right, and I think that's where they need to change their rules a little bit and realize this motor, this spec motor, the way that it's being put together in these race shops is not a competitive motor the way that they're running it against the flat top motor. And a guy like me or you or any other guy that's been racing since 1998 should not have to go out and spend $16,000 on a spec motor to be competitive. We should be able to use the motors that we have and have some kind of either they need to decarburate it a little bit. Okay,
well, there will be a quiz after this show on what the hell these guys are talking.
This is like so over my head.
It's a huge topic.
It's a huge
for late model racers, and it's been a huge topic for guys that aren't in the rich category of late model racing. The guys that don't have the funds or doesn't have an owner that can go out and drive these. I'm owner operator. Brian Finney's owner operator. Okay, they don't have some big. Well, he didn't used to. He may now, but they don't have some big sponsor that's paying for all this.
Are
stuff.
You in a bowling alley, Brian?
I was going to say, it sounds like you're in a bowling alley.
We had a family birthday tonight, and I had to come to the bowling alley to bowl.
Okay, well, we figured it out.
Yep, you figured it out. Yeah, and I still have to go back to stop and finish working tonight. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, we don't need to bore everybody with the motor stuff, Brian, but, you know, it's nice to hear that the Sunbelt Series is still in existence and does right. still have car counts. And I hope that they do get the motor stuff straightened out, and that'll just help the car counts be better.
The way we did our motor program before, we had a good friend that would help us on our motors, and we were not spending the money on the motors, that even for a spec motor that we were spending. But we felt we had to make a change for this year, and I think it's a change we had to do buying this spec motor. It's not necessarily what we wanted to do because we have great motors sitting in the shop, but we want to be competitive. We want to win races, and we have to – you know, get back to where we were a couple of years ago, and this is the move that we thought we had to make to do that.
Wouldn't you like to see what's in it and build your own?
Well, I don't know what's in it other than, you know, Steve at Progressive built it for us, and he wouldn't tell us what was in it, which that's fine, but I just hope, you know, and I think he's, you know, pretty honest, and I think he built this hopefully the same motor that Choquette has and a couple of these other guys have, and hopefully it'll be even things out for us this year, and we'll be back in Winter Circle where we need to be.
Yeah, and you, instead of coming in second in the points, coming in first in the points.
That'd be nice. We really just want to get back to winning races. We didn't win any last year or the year before, and we really want to, and we think it's the move that's going to help us get there.
Cool. Well, we'll see you at Orlando Speed World on Friday night and for the opening race of the Sunbelt 2008 series, man. We look forward to it.
That's right, and if you want to see us race the week after, we'll be at Hickory, North Carolina for the Pass South race.
Right. Is that right?
We're taking two cars, myself, I'm running, and his brother lives in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I was just going to ask him about his brother.
He's going to run the second car. He's going to come out of retirement and start driving a little bit here.
How's he doing up there? I haven't talked to him in at least a year.
He's doing great. He works for a great company. He's an engineer for a company that builds inertia engine dynos, and they're doing great up there, and they have a really great product, and they're really just trying to get this engine dyno out there.
Hickory Motor Speedway, huh?
Hickory Motor Speedway for the pass out race. We'll be there.
All right.
Well, sounds great, Brian. I'm glad to hear that you're still racing. Nice to hear your brother's going to come back and come out of retirement. I remember when both of you guys used to race, and we used to have a good time out there racing together.
We used to race in the Florida Pro Days, and we had a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be a good thing for both of us.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we'll check back with you after that the South Pass race up there at Hickory.
Very good. We appreciate that.
Hey, you still live in – where are you living, Hialeah?
No, we live in Merritt Island. We have our race shop in Merritt Island. I was a school teacher the last couple of years, and I took off this year and next year just to concentrate on the racing and our racing business that we have.
Oh, my goodness.
Very interesting.
Cool.
Okay, Brian.
See you Friday, man.
Good luck, buddy.
Very good. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brian Finney was the. What year is that, Rachel? What is that? 2005, I guess it must have been. Must have been 2005. He was the Pete Orr. Might have been 2006. Pete Orr Sportsmanship Award winner.
Well, I remember him and his brother were always great guys, and their dad, you know, they always brought good equipment to the racetracks. I remember when they started racing, and, you know, he's still doing it now. That's interesting. He's been hard at it since those days in 98, so he's been hard at it for 10 years racing late models.
It's time for us to get out of here, but you know what? People who are listening to this show, if they stick around for, like, 2 minutes when we get through our closing music deal, it is the complete replay of Henry, if you really want to stay up late, man, the complete replay, it's 3 hours long, of the heats and features at Henry County Motorsports Park.
They didn't have that drunken announcer from Ocala there,
Henry
did they?
County Speedway. New Henry County.
New Henry County Speedway,
what,
yes.
What drunk?
Did they have that drunken announcer from Ocala Speedway?
No, they only had, they had his brother. His brother Rick.
New Henry Speedway!
No, they had his brother, Rick.
Rick Angus?
Yeah, who tomorrow night, me, you, and him are going to go have motor wars.
Hey, that's Jeff, right, when you were out there Saturday night, did you take a look at that Florida slingshot?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
What is that, for killing giants?
As a matter of fact, you know what? We need to call him.
Yes, we do. That was my subtle little
segue.
Segue to remind you to call my.
You know what? At 9 o'clock, you got to be less subtle.
Hey, Jack, call Mark Kloss of Florida Slingshot so we can talk about this. He's got this great little car, and they were taking it around the track. And actually, the first time I saw it out there, he offered to let me go take it out there. But I said no, since I've never been on dirt before, and I didn't want to embarrass myself.
Where was Flying Brian and Kynan at?
Don't
you love how I say that?
Actually, he was like, really praying that he would be asked to take it out this this past Saturday.
He needs to stop being so modest. He needs to ask. Brian, ask.
Yeah.
Take that voice of yours and ask. Just tell him you're flying Brian and Kynan. Turn your mic on.
What happened there with Mark was his name was at the top of the list. And when we skipped down to this other one, I just marked them all off. I thought we were kidding.
So now,
hey,
Mark on the phone with us,
yes,
now?
Yes, Mark Kloss with the slingshot deal. Four slingshots is on the line.
Hi, Mark. This is CC.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for joining us on Inside Florida Racing tonight. Now, this past weekend was the second time I saw you out there with that Florida slingshot out there at the New Hendry County Speedway. And I thought it's a really cool little car, and I'd like you to let all our listeners know about it. And aren't you trying to develop the classes for this around the state?
Well, what I'm trying to do with the slingshot is get it going in Florida. It is very big in northern states right now, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, and see what we can do down here in Florida with it.
What are they? Explain them.
The slingshot is a half scale of the Northern Modified, and it's a 40 horsepower suspended race car. It's a spec race car, and keeps the cost down, and really fun to drive.
Rob, it's like this. It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Modified. It looks like exactly you took Buzzy's car and shrunk it.
What tires they run on them?
They run something similar to a micro sprint, and the size of the car is actually very close to a micro sprint for those who are not really sure what a slingshot is. The tires they run on them is a Carlisle regular tractor tire, I guess you would say. Tire.
Now, Mark, what tracks in Florida do you have classes of the slingshots running on a regular basis?
Well, right now we're just doing exhibition, and we're currently at the New Henry County Speedway. We're there as much as we can on the schedule, and we're also at Martin County Speedway, or Hope Sound, and we run there on an every week schedule.
How much does one of these things cost if I wanted to buy one and start racing it?
If you wanted to get into a slingshot today, price is $7,307, and that is race ready to go.
All right, what's the website that people can find to find out information about these slingshots?
If you want to check out some information, you can find it on floridaslingshots.com. If you want to find out more about it, you can look it up. And that is slingshotbiketobias.com.
Okay.
Do these, are these cars, are there places around the country where these are raced, like where you would find full fields of cars or something?
Yes. Right now there is approximately 50 races on the schedule this year for the national division end of it. And it also has regionals also where you can be involved with Slingshot Racing. You can catch that in Georgia and Alabama. That would be the closest to Florida right now. In 2009, we will be having a national, hopefully at Henry County Speedway, and possibly even a regional, too. So I look forward to be something big coming up in the future. I think it's just getting started right now.
40 horsepower. What kind of motor is it?
That is a 20 horsepower V-twin Brig, and they call it 600cc. And it's slightly modified, different pistons, different rods in it. It is a sealed motor, so you can't touch anything, and it's just meant for the driver.
And if people are interested, they can come on out when you're at the New Hendry County Speedway, take a look at it, see it go around the track, and but sometimes you even let people get in, get a test drive.
Yeah, right now we do some demos out of Henry County Speedway. The track is a great place for the car to run. We run close to 70, 80 mile an hour, actually just as fast free stocks out there. And my son, he drives the car. He's 14 years old, and at the end of the night, I normally let some new people in the car that want to get a feel of what the car is like and possibly that want to race the car. And next time you're out there, you got to jump in it.
I know I'm going to. I want to check that thing out. That sounds like a good deal, you know, into any kind of thing that has a stepping stone class into full-size auto racing. And it sounds like that's even a better get out of the go-karts, maybe hop into that before you think about go buying a late model or a modified.
Right. It's we just came from the go-kart division. I've been racing go-karts for about 20 years now, and my son's been doing it for about four. And it's a great way to step up. The whole thing with us going into a slingshot is I live in the West Palm Beach area, so I have a small garage, small house, and, you know, you need a small car to go with everything. So when you jump up
your
division, so we would love to be in a late model, but not only do you need the car, you need a bigger trailer and a bigger truck to go with it. So that's something we have to go along with everything else.
Well, good luck. Start business. Good luck with getting more and more cars involved. You know, it sounds like a good little deal you got going, and hopefully more and more people will check them out. You can check them out at floridaslingshot.com, right?
It's Florida Slingshot with an S.
Yeah, it's plural. Floridaslingshots.com.
Check it out, you know, and maybe you folks might be interested in it. Go to Clewiston, Hendry County Speedway when they're racing there, and find Mark out there. Maybe he'll let you take it for a spin.
Yeah, I do have a schedule when we're racing out there, and also at Martin County Speedway. So if anybody would like to check us out, just jump on the website.
How does a 230-pound guy like myself fit in one of those?
Well, the biggest guy we had in so far, I believe he was 6 foot tall and 260 pounds, and he laid down some of the fastest times in the car out of all the people we had that night.
I may not even need a shoehorn.
Oh, Mark, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Inside Florida Racing, and we'll see you again out there at the New Hendry County Speedway.
Okay, sounds great, and nice to hear from you soon.
All right, Mark, take it easy. FloridaSlingshots.com, check it out. Sounds like another new car. You know, I like the little cars. I like any of the cars that help people get into racing. You know, $7,300, that's a little steep for something to get into.
They're like dirt mini cup cars, kind of.
Yeah, you know, and
but
that's
I think,
the
like
thing.
You said,
is the
I think
cost.
It's a stepping stone, you know.
It's a strange stone, though, because, you know, it's one of those deals, you know.
Yeah.
But, I think it's great. Any of the different classes, if it catches on and they get some drivers out there.
If it gets people out there, you got that right. Tomorrow night, you want to know what it's like to go 225 miles an hour on the water in a quarter mile? Dennis Gibson, who was the owner of Hot Licks Racing, he owns a drag racing boats. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on the show with us tomorrow night, Real Racing USA Live. Want to know what it's like to go like 120 on a road course, laying that bike over or like on the side? First time ever. This lady teaches people to drive ride motorcycles for a Harley-Davidson dealership.
All right.
She took her first road course trip, man. She got off the bike. She said, "You know, I really want a cigarette. I don't smoke, but I want a cigarette."
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we're gonna have Jeff Chiquette and all the Motor Wars stuff. You know what?
Yeah, I'm gonna be. I'll be calling in. I'll be listening on the telephone tomorrow just to throw in my cent and a half. Well, I don't even have a full 2 cents to throw in there.
You guys have fun with that motor discussion. I'm gonna be out at a Guitar Hero contest tomorrow night.
Is Wayne Anderson gonna be on again tomorrow?
No.
You know, it's interesting. I like Wayne that he's vocal about
things.
He's
very, very. We always learn something. And he always keeps the discussion frank. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, and, you know, we even talk about Frank sometimes. No, it's always interesting conversation because Wayne has a lot of experience. He's been around. He's seen a lot.
He always teaches you something.
Got a lot of spurts.
Good night, Rob.
You got to have spurts. That's what it's all about. If you know how to spell spurts, send it in.
Well,
on a 3x5 card,
CC
11122
bill attached
Bozo
to the back.
Boulevard.
We
Port Charlotte.
We ran 28-35-83. Oh my God! Tomorrow night, Real Racing USA live.
Hey, folks, you've been listening to Inside Florida Racing. Make sure you tune in next week, same time, same place.
And this is the
7 to 9:15 or whatever.
This is the home of Pandora Jewelers, Driver of the Month.
Yes, and please, if you haven't yet, turn your clocks forward.
Oh, everybody's done that except Jack. Look
Remember,
at the clock up there.
Spring forward and fall back. Right now in the studio, it's only 8:15.
And coming up, it is the rebroadcast of the United Dirt Late Model Race, the Ponce de Leon Classic from New Hendry County Speedway.
6 hours Lewiston. From New Hendry County. Hey, Lord, can't you hear me call?
Thank you. just be doing.